about.
Yeah! Yes! That's exactly what I mean. Oh, Pete, you gotta check out the dance. We got it.
What dance?
For the opening number.
There's no opening number. You just do a monologue.
It's just a monologue?
Yeah.
Oh. I just come out and I just talk and I do like...
Just talk, yeah.
So there's no dance number in the beginning?
No.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
They're the chuckleheads. It's just a funny word to keep you singing along. Karen and me, they have a great show on K-Rock in Los Angeles, don't you know?
And now,
with all due respect, you need to get your together now, lady.
Our feature presentation.
Well, it looks like we're doing this again. Looks like this is happening. Ugh. We're back on the air.
So dumb.
I know, right?
Right?
We had it figured out. We had a pretty good life going.
I feel really good about the fact that I was here about 30, maybe 33 seconds, and Chip already told me to take another vacation.
Yep.
So that felt good.
Had enough of your nonsense.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of the great Linda Pauly singing the praises of the Kevin and Bean Show, thank you for that, Linda, from her beautiful home in Maine. How close were you to Linda Pauly when you were in Maine over vacation, Allie?
I think she is in Bangor area, which is about 3 hours away.
3 hours?
Yeah.
Wow, Maine's a bigger state than I knew, I guess.
Oh, Maine's real big.
Were you tempted?
Of course.
Drive on down there?
Yeah, why not?
No one parties like a Pauly party. I know that.
I have heard that. I have heard that.
So I thought we were hearing a lot about Maine before vacation. How much are we going to be hearing about now that you're back?
Oh, a lot. I've got a whole slideshow for you later. You
Ralph
excited?
Wants to debut a new feature called Maine is the Worst. I'm actually looking forward to that.
I heard that. So a guy lights a firecracker off his head and dies. And all of a sudden, Ralph decides that that's everyone in Maine.
I think that's certainly emblematic of the people who live there, of the Mainers, as they say.
No.
Well, in case you're wondering, we do have Noah Monkey today. He is taking one more because he is on his way back from Canada today. I think he was at the World Cup game last night, which must have been very exciting as a soccer fan and as an American. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be in that stadium, to be at that game last night?
And with kids that love soccer, I mean, it had to be great.
Had to be great, yeah. So he's flying back today. He'll be back here tomorrow. But otherwise, we are up and running for an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Chip, how was your weekend?
Ooh, I don't remember anything really going on. No.
Stayed local?
Yeah, just hung out at home.
You were
just watched
my house. You came to visit me.
What?
Oh, shit. You forgot so soon. You were there.
I blocked it out of my...
Oh.
No, I told Bugs, like, I didn't know you could do that much cocaine in a weekend.
How
wow.
dare you?
But
that was private,
we raged.
That was
hard.
Private.
You have to be on something just to keep up with the healthiest man in the world.
Right?
I've said that for years.
You,
yeah.
He rages so hard.
So hard.
We did go right to Denny's as soon as I picked Chip up from
the
airport.
That's a true story.
I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, wow, not even a little break, maybe take her to put her suitcases down.
And he took me there, and then he threatened to take me back to the airport right after. He was like, okay, here you go. Here's your Seattle trip.
Well, it was Thursday. We had to go to Denny's.
True.
I mean, that was part of the deal. But I think we had a good time. 4th of July, the night of the 4th of July, Allie, we watched the Glenn Campbell Alzheimer's documentary, so we got that going.
That's a party.
Uplifting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, such a sad documentary.
Yes.
Yeah, good times.
Sure
good
was.
Times. Well, so you did that in lieu of fireworks, or?
Well, we caught the end of the fireworks.
Good.
You know, we finished it up in time to see the end of that. But,
oh, jeez.
Anyway, hey, before we get going on today's show, bring Ralph in here and really get it cranking up. Speaking of traveling, we all took planes over the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a story that I don't know what's going on with this. I'm confused by this story on many levels. Planes get hit. My understanding is, and I'm no airline expert here, but my understanding is that planes are built for and easily survive being hit by lightning. They commonly get hit by lightning, right?
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Yeah, but I mean, they have some sort of like a lightning rod. I mean, literally on the plane, anticipating hit by lightning. And when the plane gets hit by lightning, it doesn't do anything.
Okay.
Does that sound accurate as far as your understanding is?
I, again, no aviation expert like you, but it does make sense because you're in the sky.
Yeah, and you're metal, and you're kind of the only thing around when lightning is looking for some place to hit.
I was real impressed with that.
That's a really good fact, Allie.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Hey, back up on the science talk here, man. Come on. We're trying to follow along here. So anyway, so this plane is in the news. It's a U.S. Airways Express Flight 5137. It leaves Hartford, Connecticut over the 4th of July weekend. It's on its way to Charlotte, but the flight decides to land in Columbia due to a lightning storm. And I'm not sure why it needed to leave the sky, unless maybe associated with that lightning storm was other severe weather, maybe really heavy winds or something like that. Because it didn't seem like lightning would be enough to bring a plane down, right? You wouldn't think.
Well, birds do, but...
Right, exactly. So it diverts. So they say, hey, folks, captain comes on. I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to land in Charlotte. We're going to divert the plane. And they landed in Columbia, South Carolina instead. So one of the passengers on the plane is deplaning. It's one of those smaller planes, U.S. Airways Express. It's deplaning on the runway. She's leaving the plane after having her travel disrupted by this storm. And on her way off the plane, somewhere between the plane and the airport, she gets hit by lightning.
No. The terminal.
Walking into the terminal, she gets hit by lightning. That lightning was coming for her, man.
May I ask, is she alive?
She is alive. Oh. At last report, she was in the hospital and recovering. And it says here that passengers are completely safe in an airplane when lightning strikes, but not so much when they're getting out of one. So, yeah, she was. I mean, that lightning had her name on it.
Right. Stay away from her is all I'm going to say.
What are the chances of that? Very few other details released in terms of what her situation is. But as of last report, she was in the hospital and was recovering. So she's got a she's got a pretty good vacation story.
Right.
For sure. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
# kill Bean.
I don't know that that's necessary. One of the funniest things that happened while we were gone was Stephen Colbert taking over a public access television show in, where was it, in Monroe?
In Michigan.
Michigan. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Stephen Colbert, I'm so impressed with him. I mean, first of all, as great as David Letterman was and is, and no one will ever replace him, somebody's going to replace him. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be Stephen Colbert, who I think is going to be doing a completely different kind of show that is going to be equally excellent.
Don't you find that with everything that comes out online, you get more and more excited for him to actually come on?
Yes, because we have seen, and this is brilliant that they're doing it this way, because the show doesn't debut till the fall. We are seeing more and more of the real Stephen Colbert as opposed to the character that we saw for all those years on the Colbert Report. And he is a brilliant comedian. Anyway, we got highlights of his public access show, including his interview with Eminem. That was phenomenal. Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. Our old friend Rob Delaney is going to be on. We love Rob. And that show that he told us about right before he moved to Britain to start working on that show is now available for you on Amazon.com. And it's, Allie, I know you like it too. It's terrific.
I watched all 6 episodes.
So funny.
I know it's shocking, but I did. I binge watched
it. I like you to binge watch a TV show.
Yeah, weird.
How about that? Yeah. We'll meet the world's most handsome gorilla on the program today, and we got some great tickets for you. We are back, and Comic-Con is coming up this week. Ralph's got tickets you can win to be there in person. Also, we got tickets for the K-Rock screening of Ant-Man as well. All of that and the Showbiz Beat, that's coming up next right after this on K-Rock. Our pal, actor, comedian Rob Delaney joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are back from vacation. Ralph Garman, how was your holiday weekend, my friend?
It was good.
That sounds like it's qualified good.
Well, it was pretty much the same as any other weekend.
Okay. What do you do for fireworks, Ralph? If anything,
nothing. Okay. I'm not a big fireworks guy.
Why do you hate America?
No, it's fine. Fireworks are great, and from my home, I can see the ones that they shoot off at a nearby place where they do that kind of sort of thing. So I went out on the balcony and I watched for a little bit. I said, oh, look at that. Okay.
Screw
you, America. This drink needs a little freshen up. That's what I said when I was out there. And I went back inside and just topped it off.
So you didn't shoot any fireworks off at your off the top of your head or anything?
I know. I'm not like from Maine.
Oh, that's right. You're not from Maine. That's right.
I'm not an idiot.
That's more of a Maine thing.
Because Maine is the worst.
Well, it's not one and the same.
Maine is the worst, though.
No.
I have heard
that. You know, we tell all kinds of stories about Florida. And say, oh, Florida. What's up, Florida? Oh, Florida. If someone blows their head up with fireworks.
One guy.
Where'd he live? That's all I need.
He lived in almost Canada.
No, it was Maine.
So far up in Maine, almost Canada.
He was a Mainener.
A Mainer?
Mainener.
I think. I'll have to double check. I think he was. I feel like he was in Maine, but he actually lives in Florida.
What?
I feel like he actually is from like Orlando or something. If I remember one of the stories that I saw.
Well, then Maine is the worst for letting people from Florida into it.
Yes,
I will agree with that.
Maine is the worst, just in general.
Yes,
so.
Right.
Well, thank you for holding down the fort during the bulk of vacation.
It was fun. Don't thank me. We had a good time. Me and the kids, we enjoyed ourselves.
Well, this is the show you've always wanted. It's the Kevin and Bean Show with no Kevin and Bean. I mean, that's like your dream come true.
There was a certain magical quality to it. I won't deny it. It had a certain lightness to it, a fresh breeze. You come through the studio. We don't even have a window here. I don't know how that happened. But it would smell better, and there was little cartoon birds would show up. Sing and little bunnies were jumping around. There was something magical, something Disney-esque about the.
No one stepped on the jokes. You could get through all your stories in the way you wanted them to.
Everyone seemed happier.
Must
I don't know.
Felt good.
I don't know if they're related, those two things, but just.
Kevin and Bean are gone. The rest of the staff is happy.
Strange.
I guess.
Just
all right. Well, let's see what's going on here for this Monday morning.
It is a Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Jurassic World is still the number one film for a fourth week in a row. Over $43 million at the box office this weekend, about 43.8. So let's round up to 44. Pretty strong for its fourth week. Inside Out, $30.1 million made it number two. Then Terminator Genesis showed up with a less than expected debut of just $28 million. Magic Mike XX and its debut really surprised movie insiders expecting a much bigger weekend for that film, $11.6 million all it made.
That seems shockingly low to me.
Yes. I agree. With the exception of Jurassic World, and maybe because it's so long between sequels, not a good summer for sequels so far. Magic Mike did not fare well. Ted 2 is now in fifth place with just $11 million over the weekend. So people are speculating. I don't know. It's a crazy idea, but maybe America is starved for original ideas at the box office.
Wow.
Not the Monopoly movie, don't get me wrong, but still. They announced that last week, the Monopoly movie. God damn it. Max was sixth, Spy was seventh, San Andreas, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, ninth. Bean, see that over the weekend?
I did not.
I'm stunned.
It does look good to me.
It's got everything.
I know it does.
It's got teenage angst and death in it.
Yep. Two of my favorite things.
Yes. And Dope rounded out the top 10 of the weekend. Dope, of course, the story of a guy in Maine who shoots a firecracker off his head.
That's
dope.
True. Nope.
Hey, Ralph, I wasn't around to hear you talk about the Monopoly movie last week, but it seems like that would be one as a working actor in Hollywood you wouldn't want to mock, because think of all the great roles that are available now. You can be the thimble.
I could be the top hat.
Play the wheelbarrow.
I mean, the racing car.
Dog.
The dog, yeah, exactly.
I could live on Ventnor Avenue. I could Marvin Gardens, perhaps. I could live on apartment on Marvin Gardens.
See? A lot of great roles, man. Let's not knock it.
Stupid. Speaking of box office, by the way, this is going to shock you. An organization called RentTrack, which does statistics about the box office, they, through their scientific method, have estimated that 82% of the people attending Magic Mike XXL were women.
Hmm.
Stunning.
Really? That was mostly the audience for that film?
82% women. Hmm. Went to see Magic Mike.
Let me guess. The other 18% were gay men.
I don't know about that, sir. I'm not one to point fingers, but yes. Congratulations to Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher. Surprise marriage over the weekend. They got married, gathered at Gaio Siri's home for the ceremony. I didn't know this, but Guy and Ashton are partners. They have a business together. He, of course, famous in the music industry for managing Madonna and U2. So congratulations to those two crazy kids. And another shock, wedding-wise.
Listen to Ellie.
So sad.
Billy Joel, wife number four.
Now, why are you sad,
Ellie?
Man.
I'm sad because I've aged out of his potential brides. That is depressing.
That's true. You got no shot.
Nope.
Billy is 66 years of age. his brand new bride, Alexis Roderick, 33.
Yay!
So well, he's also pregnant with his child.
So. That's half as much.
In fact, it is. Mr. Professor Hawking. Here's the thing. Alexa Rajol, his daughter with Christie Brinkley, is 29 years old. So
okay.
His new wife has just got 4 years on his daughter.
All right.
Yeah. Look, I don't care about the age. I really don't. If you're that rich and you're that famous, I suppose you can marry a young girl. I'm just stunned that he would go back to the well a fourth time. If someone says, hey, that well over there, it's filled with strychnine. You know, there's a ton of rat poison down there in that water. I wouldn't drink from that well if I were you. Oop-de-doop-de-doop-de-doop. You go back for a fourth sip. You're not good at being married, Billy Joel.
And here, I'm completely with you. And what's the advantage for him to get married?
Well, on the upside, he will probably die this time before he can get a divorce because that's how old he is.
Okay.
So he's got that going for him.
Good news for her, then.
Yeah, exactly. Ching. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, the 6th of July. The Dalai Lama, 80 years old today. So I says to him, I say, have a little something for the effort. He said, when you die, you'll achieve oneness with the universe. So I got that going for me. Sylvester Stallone is 69 years old today. George W. Bush, former president of these great United States, 69 years old. Jeffrey Rush, 64. 50 Cent celebrates his 40th birthday today. My fellow Philadelphian Kevin Hart is 36. But the reason we celebrate the day, and I'm sure we'll be cranking this out later, Tay Zonday, of course, you know him as the lead singer on the single Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before this in chocolate rain.
That's still great, by the way.
A baby born will die before this ends? Is that what he says in that song?
It is a long song.
Hey, Tay, lighten up, son. He is the voice of our generation. He is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. We'll talk to our friend Rob Delaney here in a minute, having a little bit of connection problem to his phone in London. He's just moved to England. He's just gone now, right?
I think that's what happens when you shoot a show in England. You
I think
have
so.
To be there.
So yeah. We'll get Rob on the phone here in a second. K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015 just announced. Stop number one is Lollapalooza. That is coming up once again this year in Chicago. Florence and the Machine, Alabama Shakes of Monsters and Men. Paul McCartney, by the way, playing Lollapalooza this year. Tame Impala, Metallica. Pretty decent lineup. You can win those tickets at K-Rock at 9 a.m. this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then again throughout the day at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Your chance to win coming up, and get all the details at krock.com. Allie, you mentioned earlier that you binged-watched The Catastrophe, The Rob Delaney Show.
I did. I'm a big fan of binge-watching, but I'm a bigger fan of binge-watching when I actually like the show. Which I did. And it's six episodes, so quick, so good.
So funny, right?
So funny, so charming. I want to move to England. I want to get pregnant by an ad exec in Boston. Just so many things that I want from this show.
Well, I thought he was making it up when Rob Delaney was in last summer and said, no, I'm picking up the family and we're moving to England and we're making a TV show. I'm like, yeah, right, Rob. Good luck with that. But it turned out he wasn't lying, and Catastrophe is out. Season one is available on Amazon Prime. Rob, welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Such a pleasure to hear your beautiful voice.
It's great to talk to you as well. I didn't know how when you were in here and you told us you were moving to England. I mean, that's a big life change for a family man. How have you enjoyed living over there for most of the last year since we talked to you?
Extremely a lot. Many aspects of Los Angeles I miss, but London is amazing. We're coming up on a year here, which is
unbelievable.
Bananas. But it's a wonderful place. Yeah, very happy here.
What do you miss about Los Angeles? Let me guess. The Dodgers has to be part of it.
Oh, absolutely. I miss the Dodgers. I miss Tacos Por Favor in Santa Monica.
All right.
I just got to the bottom of the list. Apparently,
that was quick.
I was, I think I told you, Rob, when you hear that, this is Bean speaking. That's my hometown, London, and I go frequently. And in fact, I was just there, just got back. I was there, a week ago. But
no kidding.
One of the things that drives me crazy is I don't eat the cows and the pigs, there's very little vegetarianism going on in a lot of Britain still in
yes.
the 21st century. And
it is,
I don't,
a little harder here.
They've never heard of turkey bacon. They've never heard of chicken sausage. And I don't know if you've had their fake veggie sausage. It's like eating tar. It's unbelievable
how bad it is. A little sawdusty. But yeah, usually I just eat their version of bacon, which is basically like a raw pig shoulder. And I enjoy that very much, so I don't really bother with too much vegetarian stuff here.
Rob is on the line again because we're talking about a series called Catastrophe that's available, first season up on Amazon Prime. I was unfamiliar with your co-star and co-writer, Sharon Horgan. I know you were already very familiar with her and a huge fan of hers, which is partly why you wanted to do the show. She's called the Tina Fey of England, right?
I've heard that before, yeah.
She's magnificent.
Yeah, she's the funniest person in the world. She's amazing. Getting to work with her is a ridiculous privilege. She's in the room with me right now, so I feel weird saying that. I'd be much more effusive if she wasn't here, but she gets angry when I toot her horn too much. So. And I should say, we're not in the same room because we live together and we're together at all times. The show is not a documentary. It's just that we're writing the second season right now, so we're in our little writer's office.
How do you guys do as friends and as comedians? How is it for you guys to play those sometimes, you know, fairly graphic naked scenes?
Do you just laugh about it? Yeah, we do laugh. I mean, it is weird to do those things. I think, you know, we always try to have a humor element be part of it, you know, like with the horrible grunting, and we try to make it embarrassing. So even though, yes, those scenes are awkward to do, we always try to have an element of comedy that makes it a little more, you know, we can just think about making sure we're doing the right crazy grunting, or, you know, that I throw her on the bed in a comical manner. So we're, you know, we're thinking about the choreography primarily.
What has England's response been to you? Because I feel Americans love British humor, that type of thing. But how does your sense of humor translate over there?
I think it seems to be going pretty well. I mean, the show was well received over here, thank goodness. And there's so much cross-pollination and pollution between the two cultures. You know, there's a big overlap. So they're watching a lot of American shows here. You know, we watch a lot of British shows in the U.S. So we try to think, and since Sharon's Irish and I'm American and our show is British, we really try to think like, well, if it's funny in one place and not in the other place, it's not funny. So we just try to up the ante so everybody thinks it's funny, except for Lithuanians.
Well, those Lithuanians are notoriously hard to please, Rob. Everybody knows that. Have you heard from anybody since the show has been out who lived the experience that your characters have? They did get pregnant and get married in a hurry because they thought they needed to.
Yes, and that has been really great because we wanted to make something that we wanted our show to be kind to pregnant women in the sense that it told the truth about pregnancy. So it's super messy. You know, it's not just her being like, I want some ice cream, you know, or nonsense. So we have heard from people who've had complications in their pregnancies and stuff that are really, you know, grateful and have been so nice to us. So usually the gnarlier detail that we put into any particular script will be the one that people write us about and are like, thank you for finally telling the truth about my wacky uterus, you know, or whatever.
And the great thing about the show is the pregnancy isn't even the focal point, at least to me watching. There's so many different elements to it, and all the characters that you guys have brought in, it's done so well.
It's rich.
It's rich. You kind of forget, oh, that's why he moved there. She's pregnant.
Yeah. Well, we wanted it to be a truly a romantic, you know, story that happened to be complicated by a pregnancy. So, you know, your life doesn't halt. You know, you still get bills in the mail when you're pregnant. I mean, my wife just had our third baby in 5 years. So pregnancy has been a huge part of my life for the last few years. You
got to know, Rob, at this point, what's causing that, though, right, dude? I mean, seriously.
Well,
just back away from the vagina.
I know. Seriously. Yeah, I think I'm going to get a vasectomy. I shouldn't announce that on the air. My wife.
All right. Last question for you, Rob. And I know that, you know, especially a guy like, I mean, look, you write what you know. That's what you do. And you've made reference to that before. But I feel like this character that you are playing in this show is so much like the real you. Are there any differences between the two of you that stand out?
What is different? Oh, you know what's funny is my wife watched the show and was like, why is your character so nice? I mean, that's not like you. That's like that's you maybe 30% of the time. Why it should be money? It's not very realistic, honey. So she's the show's biggest critic in that sense. But I guess you get more of a rainbow from the real life Rob Delaney than you do from Rob North, you know, because he really does try to put on a brave face.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Allie, didn't you think as you were watching this as a woman, oh my God, this is like the dream guy.
The dream guy, just so funny. And the part where he's like, I'm being dainty with you. I was like, you are being dainty, Rob. It's just such a delightful, charming show. And I want to be best friends with Sharon. Can we make that happen?
Yeah, I can absolutely arrange that.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Well, we can't suggest enough that our listeners immediately watch Catastrophe. Season 1 is available on Amazon Prime. You can watch the first episode for free, by the way, if you're not a Prime member. But you should be a Prime member anyway, just to get the good shipping. But and you guys are working on Season 2 now, which is great news. Rob, we miss you. America misses you. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're welcome anytime, sir. Thank you.
Miss you guys. Take care. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Speaking of tickets, by the way, we have the hookup for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got passes to the K-Rock screening of Ant-Man. We've got passes to the K-Rock screening of Trainwreck, that Amy Schumer movie that looks amazing. And we've got a pass to the San Diego Comic-Con, which, as you know, is the end of this week at the San Diego Convention Center. All of that coming up, so stick around. First, though, we go to the newsroom at TMZ.com. Our friend Dax Holt on the phone in for Harvey this week. Dax, how have you been, sir?
Oh, I've been so good. How are you guys?
Well, we're just back from vacation. Actually, Kevin's not even back yet. He went to the World Cup final yesterday.
Oh, nice.
So he's flying back from Canada today. But the rest of us are back in the saddle. I feel like I'm out of touch. I feel like I've missed the world because I haven't been talking to you guys every week at TMZ.com. What's going on today? What are you into?
Okay, well, one of the stories, the top story we got on our website right now is this Kim Kardashian story where she's super upset at a photo agency because they flew a helicopter, get this, over her house, took photos of her laying by her pool, and then were hawking the photos, saying that they were her naked by the pool. And she's frustrated. She's like, I don't understand. This is complete invasion of privacy. Number one, to fly a helicopter over my backyard. Two, to take a telephoto lens and take photos of me while I'm trying to relax by my pool. So she has her lawyer, Marty Singer, who obviously one of the biggest lawyers in Hollywood, who fired off a letter to this agency and said, take these photos down. Do not sell them. And on top of that, she goes, by the way, I was in a blue bikini. I wasn't naked, so stop selling them like I was naked.
Was it one of those, you don't know if it's a blue bikini or yellow?
Like the white and blue dress, right?
Just kidding, sorry.
Dax, what? Look, you would know the answer to this. You guys deal with photos. You buy stuff. You certainly know how the law works over there. What are the rules about that? I mean, if somebody's flying over your house, are they legally allowed to take a picture of your yard?
You know, I feel like this is such a gray area, you know, because you get house photos all the time. People want to see house photos. But when it's someone in their backyard by the pool, that's a really kind of like gnarly photo, you know. So I wouldn't want to post that photo of her by the pool. I'm sure that there's got to be some kind of legal ramification of someone by the pool shooting in their backyard. So it's something that we wouldn't post, but I mean, I could see other people possibly posting that out there.
I mean, look, I think celebrities are entitled to their privacy. I think I agree with Kim and I agree with you. It is an invasion of privacy, but I could also see the argument of, hey, I'm in airspace that's legal and free. You know, it's like, somebody can stand on the public street in front of your house and take a photo of you, and that's completely legal.
Yeah, but celebrities should have the right to be able to be in their backyard and not worry about their photo being taken.
I agree.
Like, that's the weird part, where it doesn't matter if you're in a helicopter, or it doesn't matter, you know, the drone thing I feel like is a really touchy subject. And, you know, it's like, she should be back there, and I feel like she deserves to be by her pool and have her private time because she's such a public figure that she shouldn't have to worry about a helicopter flying over and taking her photo.
It is so funny, of all the celebrities in the world, that Kim Kardashian would be the one who would be complaining about having a picture taken. She's the queen of having her picture taken.
The one who we've seen naked 100 times.
Exactly, I mean, yeah. All right, let's change gears. I can't believe that I went away on vacation for 2 weeks, and Donald Trump had just announced that he was going to run for president right before we broke for vacation. I can't believe he hasn't been forced to drop out of the race by now. In fact, the opposite is true. He is polling at number 2 behind Jeb Bush for Republican candidates right now. How is this possible? What do you know about what's going on with Donald Trump right now?
I mean, I am just loving this train wreck that is the Donald Trump campaign. I mean, every day, I mean, the backlash from him talking about Mexican immigrants has been unbelievable, with NBC pulling their contract with him, Univision. Now the big CEO of Camping World has gone and said, look, we're a huge sponsor of NASCAR, and we have our big award ceremony at the Trump in Miami. Well, we don't want the award ceremony there anymore, and we're urging NASCAR to boycott. It's like everyone is very upset with Donald. He says a lot of dumb stuff, and he's always said it to get people, you know, to talk and to get publicity. And this one, I feel like, is it backfired on him completely. He's losing a lot of money. Everyone's kind of turning their back on Donald Trump, and I think he's got to regret it a little bit.
But when second in the polls, what is going on with America?
When you say everyone, you mean the grown-ups, the people like the sponsors, but the public is not turning their back on him.
He's not going to be president, you guys.
No.
He didn't run to become president. He ran because he knew it would get people talking about it, right, and he'd get a lot of publicity off of it. That's it.
Yeah, he's got a brand. He's got his name on hotels and casinos and golf courses and things like that, and this just enhances his brand. And when he does come back to television in whatever form that's going to be, it's going to be bigger than ever because Donald Trump is a bigger star than ever, right?
Yeah, but you kind of want to be likable at some point, right?
I would think so.
I feel like he's really made himself unlikable with this one, even though he was before, but this one I think has kind of gone over the top.
It is. Maybe there are people who think it's refreshing when so many other candidates say nothing and whitewash every comment out of their mouth so that it's impossible for them to offend anybody, meaning that they don't even take a stand on things because they want everybody to like them. Maybe there's something refreshing in some people's mind to Donald Trump, who just appears to not give an F. You know what I mean? That he's just willing to say whatever.
And it's true. He should be able to say what he wants. I mean, this is his opinion, so he should be able to say his opinion, but he also has to know that his opinion may come with a lot of backlash.
Absolutely, yeah. How do the Trump posts do for you? Is he a popular item on TMZ.com, Dax?
People love to hate him. It's the same that goes with Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton. People love to hate them, so they get lots of comments, lots of traffic, because it's that common person you can talk crap on.
TMZ and TMZ Live both air on Fox Channel 11. Check your local listings. TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday at 3. Is it still at 3 on the Reels channel, or do they move that now, Dax?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll check. Go to Reels.com. By the way, Reels.com, same network that's going to be airing the Miss USA pageant now that NBC and Univision are out as well, too. So they're in the news as well. Dax, great talking to you, sir. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for tuning in on a Monday morning. We are back and we are live, and it is the 6th of July. So move over Marnie the dog. I guess there's a new animal that the ladies are going crazy for. This may be a weird question, Allie, but is he attractive for a gorilla? I mean,
the expressive eyes, the protective instincts. Get it.
Okay, you get it. Looks good, right? Well, he is a sensation in Japan. He lives at the Higashiyama Zoo and Botanical Gardens in Nagoya. My Japanese is excellent, by the way. His name is Shabani. Don't speak the Japanese. Let's find out what a sensation he is with the ladies there.
Love between woman and ape is a well-known subject of Hollywood, but apparently it also happens in real life, as love is blossoming in the primate enclosure at a Japanese zoo. In a country where surveys show many young people have no interest in dating or relationships, young women visiting the ape are going bananas for Shabani, an 18-year-old male gorilla. He's become known for his dramatic poses, pensive, broody, even coy, and for flexing his muscles for the camera. Zookeepers say Shabani has noticed that he's a hit with the ladies, but so far, he's keeping it very cool.
Very cool indeed. We asked Dave, who can we talk to about the sensation that is Shabani? And apparently we have on the line a representative of the Higashiyama Zoo and Botanical Gardens in Nagoya, Japan. Hello there.
Hello. Shabani here.
Oh, wow.
This is Shabani. You're the gorilla?
I am indeed.
Oh, well, they should have mentioned that you speak English. That's not even anywhere in the article.
I found that story to be lackluster as well.
So, Shabani, congratulations.
Some of my finer qualities are completely ignored.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're too pretty. Like, Brad Pitt doesn't get the credit he deserves for being an excellent actor because he's just so darn handsome.
Excellent point.
So what's it like to have 100 female admirers round the clock practically out in front of your exhibit just staring at you and taking photos?
Oh, it's just charming. These ladies are wonderful.
What do you think about them? I mean, what do they do? Are they annoying to you? Are you tempted? You are 99% the same as humans.
I am, but that 1% is very different.
Mm-hmm.
And I say I'm not annoyed at all. I'm annoyed by a great many things. I'm in a cage, for one.
Well,
that's very annoying.
That seems like it would be. It's not as much fun as being in the wild, sure.
I think between the two, being free and being in a cage, being free would be better. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, this is where being as smart as you are, I guess, kind of hurts you because you're able to understand the situation and not like it.
Yes, I'd rather be out in the wild, swinging from tree to tree.
Mm-hmm.
But there's horrible cell phone reception in the jungle. So everything's a trade-off in life, I suppose.
Now, have you heard that you've been compared to George Clooney?
Yes. Frankly, I don't see it.
No?
George, look, don't get me wrong, he's had a great career. Uh-huh. But he's not half the gorilla that I am.
Well, that's probably true, actually.
I can peel a banana with my feet.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I don't believe Clooney could do that.
No.
I don't think he can.
Boy, you sure are handsome, though.
Well, thank you so much. I'll tell you, these ladies have been charming, but it's hard to break the news to them. They're just not my type.
Not your type?
No.
What is your type?
Well, first of all, I like Harry.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of the Harry.
Okay.
All right.
What's with all this waxing and shaving, ladies?
Yeah, that must
just
seem
let
odd
it
to you.
Grow. I like a big hairy woman.
Okay.
Less Lisa Ling, more Khloe Kardashian for me.
Wow, you really are up with your references.
Well, one of the advantages of being in a cage is I'm right near a television set.
Okay, all right, good.
So I get to watch my shows.
You like that, all right?
I like to binge watch.
Yeah?
Me too, Shivani.
Well, perhaps we have something in common. Are you hairy?
Not really, but I could be. I mean, I guess I could be.
I guess you could be, too.
So, Shivani, the world's most handsome gorilla, you are not a single man, though, right?
Well, it's different amongst us apes.
Mm-hmm.
When you say single, I do have two wives.
Okay.
But we have an understanding.
Well, I just wonder, what's it like for them to just have the constant competition right out there on the other side of the gate? You
as
know?
Long as they get to pick bugs out of me, they don't care.
All right.
They love to pick bugs out of me.
Well, that's a gorilla thing to do, I guess.
It sure is. Yeah, that and throwing poo.
As smart as you are, I'm surprised you haven't figured out a way to escape there at the zoo. It seems like those idiots in New York were able to get out of jail. It seems like you'd be able to get out of jail.
Yes, well, I'm waiting for someone to smuggle in a file in some meat.
Okay.
But they don't seem to be too eager to do that for me.
All right.
You completely skipped over the throwing poo thing, by the way.
Well, no, I heard you say that.
Poo.
Yeah, well, that's what gorillas do, sure.
I'm handsome, but my hands smell like poo.
This is crazy, Ralph, to have Ant-Man tickets today.
Yeah.
Also Comic-Con tickets today.
I know. It is a geek fest today.
And, of course, the Amy Schumer train wreck movie, which looks hilarious. And tickets to Lollapalooza. All of that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday morning time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Mr. Garman.
Now, Trainwreck, she's a superhero who stops trains.
Nope,
she's able,
not a superhero.
She's more powerful than a locomotive, and she can just wreck a train. She shows up and just wrecks it.
She's into one-night stand. She meets a man who wants a relationship, and it freaks her out.
Wow.
It's a comedy movie.
That's a
Bill
that's
Hader,
a
LeBron James.
Right there. Girl very, like nope. The bone. I like that power.
Amy Schumer looks perfect for that role.
She does. I think she likes the bone. I get the sense. Don't you get the sense Amy Schumer likes the bone?
I think she's got a healthy sexuality about her, sure.
Do you? thanks for just sucking all the joy out of that topic, clinician. All right, let's talk about movies. It is Monday. We always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Jurassic World continues to dominate like a T-Rex. Just tromping on the competition. $43.8 million in its fourth week in a row. Boom, number one. Inside Out, still hanging in there as well. Made a hair over $30 million this weekend. Terminator Genesis, in its debut, disappointing numbers. I mean, it's crazy. We live in an age where $29 million is disappointing, but a little less than they expected. Magic Mike, XXL. also did not live up to expectations. $11.6 million made it number four.
Now, what do you think the problem is with that? Because a lot
too much Wang?
A lot of stars in the movie. They did a ton of promotion for it. The first one was a big hit.
Yeah.
What do you suppose went wrong there?
I think once you've seen Magic Mike, you've seen it.
Okay.
And this seems to be a little bit of a retread. It's like, let's get the guys back together again to take their shirts off.
Yeah.
And look, I guess there's always an appetite for that, right?
I mean, look at how many times they... People went to the Hangover movies.
They should have put that good-looking gorilla in Magic Mike. That would have just... Sure. Imagine the box office in Japan. If he was up there strutting his stuff.
Right.
Wearing his banana hammock, as they call him. Hello, is this thing on?
Penis.
Those are the little shorty shorts they wear that show off their peni.
Sure.
Ted 2 is fifth at the box office. Max, Spy, San Andreas, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and Dope, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend.
You get some reaction from your fans last week when they saw you on the screen in Ted 2?
I did. A lot of people had a good time with the Where's Waldo version of my appearance in Ted 2. For those of you still playing, I was the Stormtrooper.
Nice.
Not juror number 7, as a lot of people guess. I don't know why. The guy in the jury apparently looks a lot like me. It's Bobby was not in the show. No,
you posted a picture in the Stormtrooper outfit.
I did.
How hot was it in there?
Not very.
Really?
No, it's you wear these vacuform armor pieces over top, which is a very lightweight sort of black body stocking.
Oh, cool.
It was very... heat was not the problem. The problem was one size does not fit all when it comes to those things.
I know what you're saying.
I don't think you do.
Okay.
I think you're thinking of something else. And every time I would walk in the outfit, my skin would get pinched between the pieces of armor plating.
Ow.
So you'd be walking along and you'd be... So... So I'm going to go over to... Yay! And just walking, you'd get strange pinches in places you wouldn't expect to get pinches. And it wasn't one place. It was all over the body at all different times. And when I finally took off the wardrobe at the end of the shoot day, I was covered in giant purple welts.
You're kidding.
Oh, no.
I looked like I'd been attacked by a passel of leeches. Just raised, purple, angry, frustrated welts all over my body.
Well, I hope you went straight to Seth MacFarlane and
I
said,
did.
This will never happen
again. I lodged a complaint with OSHA. No, I toughed it out because that's what you do in the movies, Allie. You know what it is. It's the most grueling of all professions.
Well.
Film actor.
God bless you.
But that's the one thing I remember from that day was just going home, looking in the mirror and say, I look like I have some sort of rare disease where just giant sores are popping out all over my body. Look, I had scurvy. I don't know what scurvy looks like, but it was just something I imagined.
But if somebody had come up to teenage Ralph Garman as he exited The Empire Strikes Back in the theater and said, one day you're going to play a stormtrooper in a movie.
Yes. I would have been more specific. I would have said, a Star Wars movie?
Star Wars.
And they would have said,
oh,
no. You're going to be in a talking teddy bear movie, but you'll be a stormtrooper. And I'll say, well, that's hardly the same thing. The Empire State Building Strikes Back. I'm just crestfallen. I am just a big weekend. You want to root for your guy to be the champion, and then we got let down this weekend, and it was just sad.
Just Nathan's, I'm guessing?
Yeah, Joey Chestnut. It's all over. Jaws is, for the first time in 9 years, lost.
Quite a run.
Lost the... Nathan's famous annual 4th of July hot dog eating contest. He can only eat 60 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Loser.
60 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Not enough.
But he lost to Megatoad. Megatoad beat Jaws. Sounds like a sci-fi movie. Sounds like something that should be on after Lavalantula. Jaws versus Megatoad.
Now, I am one of those people who is just repulsed by competitive eating. I can't watch it. I can't enjoy it. It makes my stomach hurt.
Okay.
But I heard...
Go down to your chocolate milk fridge and just pour yourself a stiff one. You'll get
I heard it. That there was a great deal of a drama not only in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest upset, but in that Megatoad's fiancé left him immediately before the competition.
Yes.
So
I think
he was,
that was part of his motivation.
Pride.
was he was driven. I'll show her. She left me. She doesn't know what a good catch I am. I can eat 62 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
It's the definition of emotional eating.
Who's sorry now? Who's sorry now, Janine? Look at me. I've got all these hot dogs in my stomach. I rule.
So do you think she broke up with him and then she couldn't help herself? She turned on the TV and she's like, what did I do? Oh, I could have been engaged to a champion.
Biggest mistake of her life. She is regretting it.
Yeah, maybe so.
You know, sometimes when people get engaged, get married, and they immediately regret it. You know how that happens?
No, I don't. I'm unfamiliar with that. Yeah,
sometimes. Sometimes everyone around them regrets it, too.
Well, that is
This is why you fail.
That is why you fail. Chelsea Handler found a way to be reasonably entertaining over the long holiday weekend.
Okay.
She went water skiing topless.
She sure loves taking her top
off. Boy, is she in the wrong line of work. Because here's the thing. The only time she's remotely entertaining is when she gets her cans out. So really, she should be on the pole, right? She should be stripping, not doing comedy.
All right.
Or comedy. Either of those. Because that, the only time she is, I say, wow, that was almost entertaining. It's when she's water skiing with her boobs out, or horseback riding with her boobs out, or riding a camel with her boobs out, or paragliding with her boobs out.
And her thing is, she, for some reason, has decided that her life is going to be spent trying to get Instagram to allow female breasts on their service.
Yes.
Right? That's what her deal is.
Finally, a cause worth fighting for.
Okay.
So Instagram took it down because they do.
But and does she do that just because she gets the publicity of having her picture taken down every time?
Of course. Instagram has a strict nudity policy. Twitter, however, has no such policy. So you were able to see her 4th of July topless water skiing on Twitter.
That's so how she spent her weekend.
For 15 seconds, she was entertaining. Boy, is she not funny.
But you're still a big fan, though, right?
I think she's the best.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dalai Lama. He's 80 years old today. If you see him, if you run into him, say, hello, Dolly. Sylvester Stallone is 69 years old today.
Ralph, I have to ask, because it debuted while we were gone, what do you think of the trailer for Creed?
Looks good.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. And I love that Michael B. Jordan, man. He's a hell of an actor.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were all sort of led astray initially when the film was announced in thinking it was going to be another Sylvester Stallone joint. When in fact, Stallone's just an actor in it. It was written and directed by the guy who did Fruitvale Station. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's a fresh take on that world, and I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think so too.
George W. Bush is 69 years old as well. Jeffrey Rush turns 64. Rapper 50 Cent is 40 years old today. Kevin Hart, comedian out of Philadelphia, 36 years old today. And singer Tay Zonday.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain.
Ah, you're right, Ralph. That is a bummer.
Yeah.
Very dark.
A baby born will die before this ends. Which I often say about Beans Periscopes.
Oh, come on.
I feel like I die a little bit every time I watch one of those. We'll be taking a good, long, hard look at his most recent Periscope.
I thought I was the king of Periscope.
No, it turns out you're the Rodney Bingenheimer of Periscope. What Rodney is to radio, you are to Periscope.
How dare you?
And I will show you
how
exactly
dare you,
how
sir.
Science will prove me out when we cover that later in the show. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Than I've ever been.
It sounds like that might be the new one from 21 Pilots right there on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Speaking of the rock music, how about this? K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015, Lollapalooza fast approaching in Chicago with Florence and the Machine, Alabama Shakes, Metallica, Paul McCartney, and so much more. Win your tickets this morning at 9 o'clock here on the Kevin Bean Show. It may be a qualify thing. I haven't read the paperwork yet. I'm not sure. You may not win anything
not
at all, actually. So, Ralph, you didn't do much traveling. You were actually holding down the fort here on the Kevin and Bean Show while we were on vacation.
Yes.
But most of the rest of us took a plane. Dave was on a plane to Mexico. Assistant producer Christine was down in Colombia. We got to investigate that, by the way. There's only one reason to go to Colombia. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Chip came up to visit me. Allie, no surprise, you went to Maine.
How dare you with the Low talk Maine. I flew into Boston, drove to Maine.
Oh, drove to Maine.
Yeah.
It's the worst of both worlds.
And I also, during vacation, was in London for some time and then San Francisco, where I went to see the Grateful Dead. So I had a little bit of time on airplanes myself. Now, Ali, you and I had similar experiences in that we both saw something on an airplane mm-hmm. that we wanted to bring up. Because I think this
when
gets
you see something, say something.
That's what I've always heard.
Right?
This gets us into the topic that I want to discuss and take calls from the Kevin and Bean listeners today about what are the parameters of speaking to somebody for their bad behavior in public. Is that something that you – why are you laughing, Ralph? That's
haven't
a legitimate
question.
Haven't
you learned your lesson yet, Bean? Remember the guy who told you to F off because you held the door for him? And he didn't say thank you after you held the door for him at a 7-Eleven? Just stop talking to people, Bean. That's the answer to the problem.
I know you say that, Ralph, but let's face it. If you – I mean, for instance, if you
remember the guy you told to get out of the middle of the street who told you to F off?
He did tell me to
remember
F off,
remember that
yeah.
guy? People are constantly telling you F off.
Right, but
you
there
keep
are
sticking
some,
your nose.
There are some times you see something that somebody is doing in public that don't you feel like you have to butt in. Like if you saw somebody who is hitting a kid, for instance, you might say something. Even though that person might come back with, hey, you don't tell me how to discipline my kid, you – would probably step in if you saw a situation.
What did the
like
kid
that.
Do?
How about if you saw a visibly pregnant woman smoking? Would you say something to her?
Yeah, I'd say you have a light.
All right,
she's the
maybe
one you
Ralph's
go
not
to.
The maybe Ralph's not the barometer of whether you should say something to people in public or not. All right, let's hear from you, Ali, and then we're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067 about the bad behavior. In your mind, it was bad behavior. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe that was the problem. But you spoke to a stranger about something that they were doing in public. What was it, and how did it go? What happened to you, Ali? You go first, and then I've got one on a plane too.
So I'm on the plane, and I've got my headphones on, and I'm hearing this loud bang, 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 bleh, bleh, bleh. I'm like, what the heck is happening? I take my earphones off, and it's really loud, and I can't figure out
can
where
I hear
it's
the
coming
noise
from.
Again, please?
Bang, bang, bleh, bleh, bleh. Bizarre, right? So I'm looking around. The guy next to me is looking around. Other people are looking around. It's a kid that has a tablet, and the volume's up super loud. No headphones.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, clearly the child's mother next to him is going to say, honey, turn it down. The right. whole plane.
Right.
Bleep, bleep, bleep. We get it. Turn it down. This didn't happen. A few minutes go by. And finally, the guy next to me says to the flight attendant, can you please ask that woman to turn down the kid's video game?
Also, now that's interesting. He wouldn't confront her. Well, he had the flight attendant.
He'd have to get out of his seat.
He's
and
no
it's a
bean.
Whole.
He's no bean.
No, he is not. But the flight attendant then went the other way to do something. So the guy got up and said, hi, ma'am, that's really loud. We can all hear it. And her response was, well, I don't want to put headphones on my child. That'll blow out his eardrums. I thought this guy was going to lose his mind. And it was true. Just you're not going to put headphones on a little kid, mm-hmm. but maybe then turn down the bloop bloop so the rest of the plane doesn't hear it. Finally, a flight attendant had to get involved and say, it is very loud. We can all hear it all over the plane. But I don't know what the reaction should have been. But other
first
than
of all, the guy went about it wrong way. You always have to present an option when you do these things. He should have said, I'm sorry, could you turn it down, please? It's really bothering me. This way mm-hmm. you avoid the whole headphone conversation whatsoever. You're
okay.
asking for a specific action on her part, which is to turn the effing thing down.
Now, do you, in your mind, Ralph, because to me that's a completely legitimate request on an airplane to have somebody
absolutely.
Not playing something loud. And I think about this sometimes, too, when you're like in an airport, for instance, you'll see somebody who is watching something on their phone with the volume up, even though that's not in a plane, even though you're, you know, just in a public space. I feel like nobody else should be hearing whatever it is you're looking at.
I think a plane is different than just mm-hmm. an airport or some public
because you're trapped. You can't get up and walk away.
Right. And by the way, they have Olivia, look, I understand the whole tablet thing when you have a kid. When I travel with Olivia, my wife and I. There are kids' headphones that have a limiter on it that mm-hmm. you can't get a certain volume up beyond that is safe for their ears. And she absolutely has a set of those, and that's what she listens to anything that she's watching on the iPad. So that's not an excuse. But if they weren't available, you just have to say simply, could you please turn that down? But
yeah.
I think that's a legitimate thing because it is
too.
You are impinging upon other people's enjoyment of the flight, which is already sometimes difficult at best. So that's
now, Ali, if that guy had not said anything mm-hmm. and nobody had said anything, would you have been the one to handle it?
Probably not, because I was in a window seat.
Hold on, let me try to.
Yeah,
I don't know. Track that.
It's pure laziness. I did not want to get past over, and then I have
people.
To take my earphones off, move my laptop.
I'm tired
exhausting.
Just hearing about it.
Stop it. All right, we're going to take your calls.
You'd rather sit there and be annoyed.
Totally.
What for 4 hours? For 1-800-520-1067. Have you confronted a stranger about something they were doing? What was it? What did you say? And what was their reaction? So now let me tell you my plane story.
Oh,
and you guys tell
you
me. What?
You're
you
all,
rolled your eyes.
I can tell you now you're wrong.
How do you know?
Because
you don't
I
even,
know.
You don't know,
Allie
man.
Allie was right, and you're wrong.
Stop it. All
Stop
right.
It.
So I'm on a plane, and I'm flying.
Someone was chewing their food. And they were only swallowing after 18 bites.
I am flying to London. So this is not a 45-minute thing that you have to endure flying from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. This is a night, okay? This is a commitment. This is some hours in the air on this long, long flight. And I'm on an aisle, and the person who is on the aisle next to me, so he's, I don't know, how big's an aisle? 2.5 feet? Something like that?
Sure,
that's
sure.
How close he is to me. He decides that for the duration of his trip to London, he's going to take off his shoes and socks. So he's barefoot on the plane.
Yeah.
Legs crossed, foot dangling in the aisle. He's 2.5 feet away from where I am sitting, eating, sleeping, living. Do I want this old man's barefoot in my life for 11 hours? You tell me.
Did he rub his feet all over your table?
Did he bring out one of those petty scrapers and just started doing
the calluses?
Did he
bring out the egg? Start working the skin off his heel?
No.
Well, but he took his shoes and socks off. Feet.
Yeah, he took his shoes and socks off in a public place on a plane. Nobody wants to see this old man's feet. Nobody.
What if he was in flip-flops?
He shouldn't have been in flip-flops to fly on a plane. You should
that's
have
mildly annoying, but it's not. It's not the bing bong boom bong sound from the kid's tablet.
It was infuriating. It was
infuriating. It's mildly annoying at best.
I don't want
a smelly feed. What?
I don't want
is
a
there more of the story?
No, I don't want a stranger.
Were his feet on fire?
I don't want a stranger.
Does his foot have a gun?
Naked feet, 2 feet from my head.
Right, it's distasteful. So you know what you do?
It's distasteful.
You don't look at his feet.
Well, you can hardly avoid it if it's right there. You can't not look at something that's so offensive.
No, it's true. You can't not look at something.
It's right there in front
of
you. It's
in
your
face.
Only got
a book or a movie to watch.
Look.
No, you have to look at the feet.
Don't you think that in a civilized society, you shouldn't be on an airplane in bare feet? Don't you think that shows disrespect to your fellow passengers?
Ideally, no.
Would you ever do that? Would you ever do that?
But it's a minor. It's a minor. It's a misdemeanor at best.
It's a major social faux pas as far as I'm concerned.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Allie, in a million years, would you ever fly barefoot?
I would not, and here's why. Because your feet tend to swell, so then trying to put your shoes on after the flight would become a problem.
But wouldn't there
Allie
be a part
of avoid any sort of effort at any time?
God,
she doesn't want to grunt to get her socks back on. She wants everything to be easy peasy. No extra work for Allie when she's flying. She's not getting out of her seat. She's not going to put her shoes on or off.
She pees into a bottle.
Wrapped in bubble wrap and just left alone for the entire flight.
She is committed to comfort when she gets on an airplane,
yes,
isn't she?
She is.
But how about the part, Allie, where you wouldn't fly barefoot because you wouldn't think that that would be something that the person next to you would want to look at for the entire length of the flight? What about that?
I get that it's gross.
Feet are not our best body part.
I am not
folks.
A fan of feet. I will say that right now, but I would find it easy not to look at them.
Yeah, you really? Say, oh, that guy, what a douche. And then you go back to your life. You don't obsess about it for 9 hours.
I did. It just, it burned a hole in me.
Of course you did.
It burned a hole in me. And what's going through my mind is, I need to say something to this guy. But then what's going on through my mind after that is, then if he's a dick, I'm sitting next to this guy, and it's extremely uncomfortable for the whole rest
yeah,
of the flight.
Yeah, he's waving his foot in your face. Yeah, I'm going to rub him all over you. That's what I would do.
I didn't say anything to him.
You don't say anything to him.
I should have said
no, you shouldn't have. That's the thing you live with. That's one of those things that it's like, ugh, and then you live with it. Just move on.
How about, as you so famously often say, Ralph, how about being a human? How about being a person that lives in the world and is aware of other people living in the world?
I'm not saying it's a win. I'm saying, woohoo, bare feet on the plane. It's not an upside by any stretch of the imagination. But it's also not, it's not a world ender.
So not worth mentioning.
No.
I don't like it.
Well, you know, I quote, great, that's exactly the point. You don't like it. But you know, oh, I can't help but look at the feet now for 9 hours. Just move on.
When did you confront a stranger about something they were doing? What was it? What was their reaction? Edgar, you hang on. We're going to you first as soon as we get back. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are next on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
The world famous K-Rock. It's The Kevin and Bean Show.
Sure the hell is. And the return of the monkey tomorrow, by the way. Kevin on his way back from Canada after being in the audience for the World Cup women's win. Congratulations, ladies. Well done. You made America proud. I'm sure I'll have some stories to tell us about that tomorrow. In the meantime, we're taking your calls here on the Kevin Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. You saw a stranger exercising in your mind something that was inappropriate or bad behavior, and you were brave enough to speak with that stranger about it. What was it they were doing? What did you say to them? What did they say to you? How did it turn out? I didn't say anything to the guy with the bare feet on the plane, and it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
Now, here's the thing. This is part of the culture now where everybody gets offended by everything, and that's supposed to matter. Like, no one can just be unhappy about something. Everybody has to say something or protest or boycott or something. Sometimes life just sucks, and you have to learn to roll with the punches. Unless they're really coming at you with something that's impinging upon your existence, you gotta roll with it.
Now, I generally agree with everything that you just said, and I think people do get too offended too often. But I also think there's something to be said for standing up for some sort of basic decency.
But look, the guy that took his shoes off just bugged you. That's all. It just bugged you. You don't get necessarily to go over and be the police with him because he's bugging you.
They should have thrown him off the plane.
He's an aisle away. It's not even the guy next to you. If the guy in the seat next to you has his leg crossed and his foot's in your face or something, that is then you're crossing the line. But he's across the aisle from you. You can just not look. Just don't look.
Can't look.
Can't not look is your problem.
Exactly. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We promised Edgar would be up first. He's got his story from in the wild of Los Angeles. Hey, Edgar, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We missed you, people. I just want you to know that. We missed you. What's going on, dude?
Well, we missed you, too.
Thank you, sir.
So what happened with me is I went to go see a movie with my wife, and throughout the whole movie, this lady literally right next to me was on her cell phone sporadically. And to the point where I got mad. I'm like, excuse me, can you please turn off your cell phone? And she's like, oh, okay. So then she picks up her purse so I can't see her cell phone and continues to be on her cell phone.
All right. Now, what about that, Ralph? Cell phones in movie theaters are incredibly pervasive. People now believe they can't survive without looking at their phone for 90 minutes. Yet it is incredibly annoying to everyone else in the theater. Is that a legitimate thing to bring up to someone?
Yes, again, because that is actually impinging upon your experience. That is crossing the line where it's actually affecting your experience.
So, Edgar, she just kept on doing what she was doing but tried to hide the screen from you, not caring whether it bothered anyone else in the theater.
Yeah, and the worst part about it is that 2 minutes later, her daughter even said, hey, Mom, can you please get off the phone to go watch the movie? And she's like, no, just watch the movie. And she continues to be on her phone.
Yeah, that's horrible. And it's a policy in most theaters that you can't do that. I mean, there's a rule about that.
Exactly.
You should have went to the authorities. And by that, I mean the pimply-faced kid in the polo shirt.
911.
In the lobby. Yeah,
911. Exactly. Thank you, Edgar. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Lakewood Line 3, please. Let's welcome Jasmine. Jasmine, by the way. All Jasmines are hot.
All right, easy.
How are you, my dear?
Hi, how are you?
What's going on?
I was about 14 years old. I was at a restaurant with my mom and my nephew, and this lady and this guy were about to do it. They were, like, the guy was on her boobs, and she was, like, trying to touch his penis and everything.
Whoa, what's happening here? What? Where are you guys when this is happening? Did you catch it?
No.
You're
in a restaurant?
Oh, a restaurant. And so there's a couple in a restaurant that's just, they're all over each other.
Yes.
All right, go on.
I got up because I had my nephew, so I'm like, excuse me. I was like, could you not do that? I was like, I have kids here. She's like, well, if it bugs you too much, don't look. So I'm like, oh, my God. I was black.
Take off your earrings. Go time. Wait a minute, what kind of bathroom was this where there's a guy and a girl in there and you're in there at 14 with your nephews?
I was at a restaurant, not a bathroom.
Restaurant, not restroom.
restaurant. They were just like,
oh, a restaurant.
In the open.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
restaurant.
So it was a restroom.
So were there...
Well, Hell's Bells.
Was there nobody who worked at the restaurant who may have been policing that behavior?
No, they saw it, but they didn't want to say anything. You know, some people just don't like to say stuff like that.
Well, was there any nudity?
Yes, there was.
Well, that's you're breaking the law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you
look.
You should have stabbed him with a fork. That's what I would have done.
Look, your nieces or nephews have got alert at some point. I mean, it saves you having the talk with them. You can just see what they're doing. That's how babies are made. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Chris. Chris is on line one. He's in L.A., and I like Chris's call because it involves a kid. Like in Allie's situation, parents get very protective when somebody else tells them how they should be raising their children. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. What's up, dude?
So I was in Starbucks, and I was basically finishing up my drink. This woman comes in with an already screaming toddler. Yeah. He's maybe 3 years old, and she's carrying him, and he's just screaming, no, no, no. She's already tuned him out and doesn't care, and she's just standing in line. And I was getting up to leave, and as I got to the door, I was maybe 6 feet away from her, and I just stopped and turned, and I was overcome, and I looked at the kid, and I just started screaming, yes! 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 Until the kids shut up and everybody else around me was laughing and I waved and walked out the door.
There you go. Problem solved.
Why is Chris not the dick in this situation? Why do we
think that's funny?
Because he didn't go up to the mom and say, hey, madam, your child is annoying everyone in the facility. Could you please get your venti latte somewhere else? He took a strong, bold, imaginative, outside-the-box approach and solved the problem. He'd say, put your socks back on, Dad, Grandpa.
I have a lot of sympathy for people who are trying to wrangle three-year-olds,
I
by
do
the way,
too.
Who
trust
can
me.
Be very unpredictable.
Having been there, if you stopped going, with some kids, if you stopped going anywhere because they're screaming, you'd never go anywhere. So
yeah.
Sometimes you just got to put up with that, and it's a pain in the ass. And trust me, most people who are parents of kids like that are as mortified can be.
But is there a thing, let's go to Patty next, Long Beach Line 2. Is there a thing, Ralph, that he alluded to that I think is also true, where parents get to a point where they no longer hear the kid because they're so used to the noise?
Yeah, the worst kind of parental neglect, in my opinion, can be surrender sometimes, where you just abdicate your responsibility and say, well, I'm just not going to try anymore. I'm not even going to try to reprimand this kid or, you know, change their behavior in any way. That's just bad parenting, and I do see a ton of that, of people who just give up and they get that dead stare in their eyes and they just go about their business with their kids doing whatever they want. It's
and that's
cool.
Because they don't want to get up and leave the theater because their kid is screaming,
yeah,
or leave the restaurant because their kid is screaming.
It's hard work and it's inconvenient.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. All right, Patty, we're going to give you the final word. Thanks so much for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on? Hello, Patty. Earth to Patty.
Patty Long Beach.
Got no Patty? No Patty.
Patty.
All right. Let's try Daniel, line six. He's in Los Angeles. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. What happened, man?
Hey, yeah. So I'm in church, and from the beginning of the church, there's a guy and a couple or a brother and sister, I don't know, they're talking behind us, just constantly talking, a conversation just all throughout church. So finally, like halfway through the church, I turn around and I tell the guy, because I'm in church and I'm mad. I feel bad because I'm in church and I feel bad about this guy. And I tell him, hey, you need to be quiet. We're in church. I'm trying to listen to the sermon. And the guy tells me, oh, okay. And like not even 5 minutes later, he continues to talk, and I really want to pound this guy. And it's just like,
that's church for you.
So
much. Hey, I'm going to give you a little Old Testament right now.
I will smote you.
I was just like, oh man! So I waited to. I was gonna confront him after church.
Good idea. Jump him in the church parking lot. That's what Jesus would do.
He annoyed me so
what
much.
Would Jesus do? He'd shiv the guy in the parking lot.
I hope that's how this story ends, with him bleeding out in the church parking lot.
Was he speaking in tongues by any chance behind you?
I was the one speaking in tongues.
Daniel, did you end up throwing down with him?
No, 5 minutes before church ended, I turn around, the guy is gone.
Yeah.
Pussy.
Got the wine and got out.
It was the rapture.
That's it, man. He's gone. All right, Daniel, thank you for the call. Listen, we got to clear these lines. I can't believe what we're going to give away next year, Ralph.
Socks?
No.
For people to cover up their bare feet?
A pass to San Diego Comic-Con, which, as you know, is this week.
Yes.
And it's in San Diego, San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Yes.
July 9th through the 12th, it is completely sold out at the San Diego Convention Center. Ralph, how many years have you been going to the Comic-Con?
Oh, boy. Off and on, all in. About 15, 16 Comic-Cons I've been to.
Yeah, it's everything. It was just comic books, and now it's everything having to do with science fiction and fantasy and film and television and animation and manga and toys and collectibles, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. Celebrities and filmmakers and panels and seminars and workshops, the whole deal. So you can't buy this pass anywhere, except you can win it from the Kevin and Bean Show right now at 1-800-520-1067. Anything in particular we looking for this time around? I know we're going to play a game to win these tickets. What do we want?
You mentioned that it's pop culture now, so I thought we'd combine a game that involves superheroes and television. If you know those things, if you're well-versed in those things, you will do well in this game.
All right, same number, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Win your way into Comic-Con next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Am I really the king of Periscope? Is that what we're going to discover this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show?
And by king, you mean worst?
Yes. Got highlights of my weekend Periscope highlights coming up. Also, we're going to go through some of the tape of a great interview that if you missed, we got to post the whole thing. You got to see it. Stephen Colbert sits down with Eminem on a Michigan cable access show, and it's very funny. That's all coming
up. Is it jarring to you when you see Colbert not be that character?
Yes, of course, yes.
It
yes.
throws me. It's like, yeah. I don't know quite what I'm watching. It's going to take me a while to get used to him being him. Instead
yep, 95% of the time we've ever seen him in our lives, he's been playing a character.
Right. I keep waiting for the snarky right-wing slanted question that always comes out, and it doesn't. It's very odd.
That's why he's so genius, is he's so good at just being himself, too. Yeah. You know. So anyway, can't wait to talk about that coming up. First, though, this is awesome. This is one of the great giveaways of the whole year. We are sending you to Comic-Con. It's happening at the San Diego Convention Center July 9 through 12. You can win the tickets with a game that we like to call their TV Heroes.
Kevin and Bean, and you, and the heroes from TV.
Oh, come on. Now you're just being lazy.
So guess them, and you go to Comic-Con.
Is Omar back from vacation that we checked?
You can win them.
Yes.
This is just the rough draft of the theme,
just
right?
If you play.
If you play, it doesn't rhyme with con.
It's TV Heroes.
There we go.
There it is. All right.
Now it's time to play.
It's
TV Heroes.
Time to play. 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, you mentioned that you were combining two things that have a lot to do with Comic-Con, and that is superheroes and also television. Tell us more, please.
Yeah, we live in a golden age of comic book television right now. There's a ton of great programming on that is just based on comic book superheroes. So I thought it would be fun to take a look at all of the comic book TV superheroes from over the years. And for anyone who's well-versed in this world, it should not be hard to come up with these. But past, present, future, I'm going to give you the name of an actor, and you simply have to tell me what comic book superhero that actor or actress played on television.
Boom.
They're TV heroes.
It's TV Heroes.
It's TV Heroes.
A little less of that. 1-800-520-1067. Chip, let's just take them in order, starting with line one, Eddie in Los Angeles. Now, we do have two pairs of tickets to give away here, so I guess we'll do a drawing. If you get it right, you go into the drawing, and then we'll pick two at the end.
This
All right,
is a
Eddie,
ridiculously simple quiz for some really cool passes to Comic-Con.
Exactly. Eddie, thank you for calling, listening to the show. Here's Ralph.
Eddie?
Yes.
Your actor, George Reeves.
Superman.
Nice.
Maybe the OG comic book superhero television show, The Adventures of Superman from the 50s. Absolutely. Well done, sir. You're in the drawing. Hold on.
AJ is in Fullerton. He's up next on line two, please. AJ, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck with TV Heroes.
It's TV Heroes.
It's TV Heroes. AJ, your actor, Charlie Cox. Charlie Cox.
The Flash.
No, sir. I'm sorry. He is a Daredevil on Netflix, a very popular, very well-done show, Daredevil from Marvel Comics.
And he's an awesome actor,
yes,
too, by the way.
He's great
in that role. Thank you for the call. Let's go to George Chatsworth up next, line three.
George?
Hello, what's up?
Here's your actor, Linda Carter. Linda Carter is her name. Who'd she play on television?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
Yes.
boobies.
Yeah, boobies.
Wonder Woman.
Hold on. We're going to put you in the drawing.
You are in the drawing, yes. Irvine, next, we say hello to RJ.
RJ, your actor from your TV hero.
It's TV Heroes.
Grant Gustin. Grant Gustin.
That would be the Flash.
That would be the Flash, sir. Well done. You're in the drawing.
We're on a roll here, man.
Yeah, these are
people. People know their superheroes on television. Let's go to
because it's
Roy.
TV Heroes.
It is
it's TV Heroes.
Anyone checked on Omar? Is he okay?
You can go to the thing. We have tickets to give away.
Back to Los Angeles for Roy. You are up next, sir. Good luck,
Roy. You're in luck. This is luck of the draw, but you got what I think is the cake of the quiz. Lou Ferrigno, actor Lou Ferrigno.
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. See, you almost shouldn't be able to win Comic-Con tickets
I
for
know,
a question that easy.
But I'm trying to mix them up.
Those are the rules. Caesar up next in a place called Wilmington, like that's real.
Yeah.
Where's Wilmington, Caesar?
Wow.
In the South Bay, right next to Long Beach.
Whoop de woo!
I will accept it.
All right. Caesar, again, luck of the draw. You have one of the more difficult questions in the quiz, in my opinion. Actor Nicholas Hammond. Nicholas Hammond.
That's a tough one, Ralph.
It is, but it's a goodie. It's a good test of your knowledge. Nicholas Hammond. What TV superhero was he?
I don't know.
He was Spider-Man. He was TV's Spider-Man.
Where was TV's Spider-Man? What was that a show?
That was on in the 70s on CBS.
I wasn't
the Amazing
alive
Spider-Man.
In the 70s.
Caesar wasn't alive in the 70s.
Dude wasn't alive for George Reeves' Superman either, and he got it. Move on, sir.
Your geekdom needs to run pretty deep today, apparently, on some of these questions. All right, we got time for one more. How about Stephen in Palmdale?
Stephen?
What up, guys?
Hey, Stephen, here's your question. Patrick Warburton, actor Patrick Warburton.
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
The Tick?
The Tick!
Yes!
Well done, sir.
Good Gotta call. Love The Tick, too.
Last night, too, dude. I watched it on YouTube.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate you tuning into Babylon. We appreciate that.
All right, you hold on, sir. You are in the drawing, as is everyone else who got their question right for TV superheroes, but only two can win tickets to Comic-Con. Of course, it's sold out at San Diego Convention Center. Allie, who are our winners, please?
The first winner is George.
George!
The second winner is Roy.
Roy!
Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing. They're TV heroes.
It's TV heroes.
Hey!
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 Hey! You check on Omar? Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
Okay.
He's huffing, though. I think that's the problem. He's huffing. He's got a bunch of aerosol industrial cleaners in there. He's just
that must be it. That explains
just,
a lot.
He's just
okay.
Huffing.
Explains that last jingle.
Yeah.
Hey, it's 7:53. It is Monday morning. The Kevin and Bean Show is back almost at full strength. Kevin joins us tomorrow on the show. First, though, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
We will get a little less strong tomorrow when Kevin joins us. I saw all the soccer happen.
What kind of shape is he going to be in? Because you know he was out partying with the Women's World Cup last night.
You know
that.
He's
he was probably with the players.
He put a wig on and everything, and he was trying to sneak in the locker room. I know. No one.
Penis.
Knows. Right.
There's that, some of that, too.
It's Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Congratulations to Jurassic World. Number one for a fourth week in a row, made another $43.8 million at the box office.
Man. Have you seen it, Ralph?
I have not yet seen it, no.
Okay. How about you, Allie?
Come on.
What? Right. What happened?
I said, come on.
That would take effort on your part?
I'd have to leave the house.
I have a window seat in my house.
She's busy binge-watching everything
right.
else.
Yes. When Jurassic World is on the Netflix, she will watch the crap out of it.
Yeah.
Inside Out did very well, too. Number two at the box office, $30 million. I did see that. Terminator Genesis underperformed with $28.7 million, but that was still good enough to make it number three. Magic Mike XXL. Just $11.6 million in its debut. Shocking. Ted 2, right behind it with $11 million. Then Max, Spy, San Andreas, Me and Earl, and A Dog Named Blue. Nope, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. That's what it's called. Number 9 at the box office. And Dope, rounding out the top 10. You know, July 4th, traditionally, is the most romantic holiday of all. That's why everybody was getting married. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher tied the knot over the weekend.
Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July.
Yeah, big. And also Billy Joel tied the knot with his girlfriend Alexis. By the way, mad props. Tip of the cap to the New York Daily News, who, this being Billy Joel's fourth marriage, the headline was, "She's the fourth of Jolie."
Wait, she's the fourth?
She's the fourth of Jolie. Yeah. Fourth of July, fourth of Jolie.
Nope.
Yeah, it was a swing and a miss. I thought as I read that, really? Somebody said, yeah, go with it, run with it. Sad news. Sonia Manzano is retiring.
Not from life, though?
No, not from life.
That was a death tuba.
That's right, it was the death tuba.
That's just sad news, that's all.
You know who Sonia Manzano is, Allie?
From Sesame Street?
Well done.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Points.
Thank you.
Points McKay. She played Maria on Sesame Street for 45 years. Mm-hmm. Started working on the show when she was 20. She played Maria, the little Puerto Rican teenager working at the neighborhood library. Now she's all grown up and her character is married Luis, the handyman on Sesame Street. They had a child. And, by the way, the child was played by Sonia's real-life daughter, Gabriella, on that show. Mm-hmm. Now, after 45 years, she's retiring from Sesame Street.
Why she's a bitch.
Why is she such a quitter?
Nobody, by the way, retires from Sesame Street. It's like the mob. They just take you in the back and snuffle up because pops you. Just puts a cap right in your head. 22, back of the head. Boom. They stuff you in Oscar's can and you're never heard from again. Nobody that's gets
that
alive.
That's why that poor man is still playing Big Bird at 80.
That's right.
He just knows
the alternative. Still got that one arm going, ow, help me. Mr. Hooper, by the way, sleeps with the fishes.
Oh, sad.
He didn't leave.
See, this is too much behind the scenes,
whacked
man.
Him. Whacked him. And Kanye West. Last weekend at Glastonbury Music Festival, proclaimed that he was the greatest living rock star on the planet.
He sure did.
And then he made the huge mistake of performing. And then everyone said, well, that's simply not the case. Have you heard his Bohemian Rhapsody? However, the gentleman who is truly, in my opinion, the greatest living rock star on the planet, Dave Grohl, kept his promise over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Foos did, in fact, celebrate their 20th anniversary with a concert in Washington, D.C.'s RFK Stadium. Even though Dave's leg is still all honked up, what they did is they brought him out in the brand new Foo Fighters throne, made out of guitars and amps and lasers and spinning lights. It's quite the sight to behold. Dave said he came up with the idea while high on morphine in the hospital after his surgery that he had on his broken leg. But Dave came out with his leg held upright and just rocked the show, just crushed it. There's a bunch of footage online. You can find it on YouTube and stuff of him still just going nuts, just thrashing, even though he's sitting there.
Is he the greatest human being ever?
Yes.
Right?
Well, he's not Weird Al, but I mean, yeah, in terms of rockers, he lives it and breathes
he's
it.
He's the greatest
and loves
living
it.
Rock star on the planet.
Yeah.
I think he might be.
Yes.
I think he might be. You know, they just re-aired the sit-down with Dave Grohl from 60 Minutes last weekend, and I watched it again. And it's so fascinating to see his deal is, and Ralph, you know this because you're friends with Dave, his whole life is being a Foo Fighter and being a dad, and that's it. He does nothing else. He says, literally, I spend my days running around, you know, taking my kid here and there in the minivan, and then I come down here and be a Foo Fighter in my little studio, and that's my whole life, and I don't need or want anything else. That's it. I'm completely satisfied.
He is just music and family. Those are the only two things he really gives a rat's ass about.
Pretty cool.
And he also, thrones. And thrones. Now he's got a throne.
And he also talked about how all he ever wanted to do was play music coming up, and this, you know, everything that is a result of that is just a bonus, you know. He would be just as happy, he says, just being able to play music even if he weren't playing stadiums, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter to him. He doesn't get more enjoyment out of playing a stadium than he does playing a living room, you know what I mean?
Which I think is
interesting.
I believe him. I think he's just genuinely passionate about doing it and just gets a thrill. And that's why he went back on stage after getting his leg all busted up, because he just wanted to keep playing. And also, he does feel an obligation, I think, to people who enjoy his music, and he never wants to let anybody down. He always gives 110% anytime he plays, regardless of the size of the crowd. And he's a good guy. He is the best. So I was glad to see him up there and rocking out. And he tells a very funny story about the accident. He recounts that and plays tape of him falling off the stage in Sweden. And then he tells you how he came up with the idea for the Foo Throne, and he sketched it out, and it's a very funny story, but you can find it online. Some great video. Today's celebrity birthdays. The Dalai Lama is 80 years old today.
He played Glastonbury also, by the way, the Dalai
Lama.
Did
he really?
He sure did.
Bean, I know, speaking of Glastonbury, you were remarkably quiet when I was mocking Kanye West. But did you see that Bohemian Rhapsody?
I did.
Was it an embarrassment? Have you heard?
Yes.
Have you heard better versions in a drunken karaoke bar?
Yes, it was. It didn't even count as a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody. It was just him grunting along with the record.
It was pitiful and an attempt to pander to a largely UK audience.
Yes.
By
yeah,
playing one of the classics from their country.
It was embarrassing.
Give me a little of that, Chip. Give me a little.
I just killed a man. Put my gun up to his head. Pulled a trigger.
Oh, dog, you're pitchy, dog.
Life had
quitting, quit,
but now,
quitter. Here's an idea. When the going gets tough, the tough let the audience sing the song.
Hey, Kanye, look up a little band called Panic at the Disco, and they'll show you how that song is meant
so
to be
good.
Done.
Right? Right?
Right.
Yep. Ralph, yes.
You see the flag that was flying at Glastonbury?
Ooh. Yeah.
Kim and Rich.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. Former President George W. Bush celebrates his birthday today.
Last American that was president, by the way.
Right, right. Thanks, Obama. Stallone, I mentioned, is 69. Bush is 69. Jeffrey Rush is 64. 50 Cent is 40. Kevin Hart, 36 years old. And singer Tay Zonde, the man who gave us Chocolate Rain. We don't have time for it now, but come back in an hour. We'll play it in its entirety. He's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015, destination number one. It's July, by the way. Are we just now starting the road trips?
Yeah.
That's why we're a little late to the party.
Car was in the shop for a while.
Okay, I got it. Well, it's a good one, though. Lollapalooza in Chicago with Florence and the Machine, Paul McCartney, Metallica, Tame Impala, Alabama Shakes of Monsters and Men, and so much more. You can qualify at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then again throughout the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Details at krock.com. So, Ralph, is the problem that you and I are having here that we have a different interpretation of what Periscope is meant to be?
I don't think it's an interpretation. I think I know what Periscope is, and you think it's an audio blog.
Periscope is not for major motion pictures. It doesn't have to have that kind of production quality.
I agree, but you do realize that it's visual, right? You understand that you're sending a picture to people. You get that much of it, don't you?
All right. So I Periscoped from a ferry a few days ago because Chip, God bless her, who runs the controls here in the studio at K-Rock, she came up to visit, spent 4th
right.
July weekend up at my house
yes.
with my wife and me.
Let's not gloss over this was a sequel, by the way, after your other Periscope of you on a ferry where you pointed the camera at water for 8 minutes and talked with wind. Okay? Let's okay. not just say that didn't happen.
That was my first ever Periscope, and I didn't realize how the wind was going to be such a problem with
you
the phone.
You didn't understand that it was a visual medium,
so
that you were sending visual images to people?
So this one, we did it indoors on the ferry. So Chip and I are sitting on the upper deck of the
you
ferry.
You sure are. You're sure sitting there, and you're sure talking for 8 minutes.
Answering questions from our listeners and just bringing the kids up to date with how the weekend was going. What's wrong with that?
You're a son of a bitch. That's what's wrong with that. First of all, let me play for you. The first half minute of this 8 minute long Periscope, okay? Keep in mind, if you haven't seen it, the camera is trained at water. It's simply water. It's nothing happening in the frame that you're watching except water and this sound.
Okay, but you understand.
Shut up. Shut up. This is happening.
But you know.
This was your Periscope.
Right,
for a minute.
Because you give people the opportunity to tune in. Not everybody watches the first second. They
shut
see
up.
Your link.
This is happening. This is what you were sending people. That sound and water.
And water, because I tweet a link that, hey, we're getting ready to Periscope, and it gives people the opportunity to see that and then click on the link and then be dialed in it before the start of the actual broadcast.
Yes, they see that. How could they not help but tune in? If they're seeing that, if that's your sound and that's your image. A minute and 45 seconds into this, you're still just showing people water. Who do you think's showing up? What do you think's going to happen?
Well, there are hundreds of people watching because I was showing the water that was outside the window of the ferry while I was...
Oh, that special water that's outside the window of the ferry?
No, but while I was... That was just what happened to me on the screen. The point
that's
was...
That's a
I
test
was,
pattern. You're saying that's a test pattern.
I was taught... Yes, it's a okay. test pattern. The point was they were listening to Chip and me recap our weekend in Seattle. That's what was going on.
Here's Bean deciding maybe now it's time to show him and Chip since they're going to be doing the talking.
What's up, Bean and Chip? We're going to turn it around so you can see our ugly mugs in a minute. Just want to give everybody a chance to join the party.
Yeah. As shaky as you are on the definition of Periscope, I think even more so you're the definition of party may be in question. Because what it is, Bean turns the camera around, and it's them sitting on a ferry talking, but just half of their faces. Just half of Chip's face and half of Bean's face. So it's sort of some weird experimental portrait.
We weren't close enough together to get both of our faces in my phone.
Well, that's very entertaining, by the way. What you want to do is show people half of two faces because that makes for good television.
It's like film noir, maybe.
It is. It was very experimental. But at least they used Periscope properly because you know what you really want to hear people talk about? It's the weather in a place where you're not a day later. You want to see them discuss weather in a city where you're not there yesterday. You want to hear about yesterday's weather in a city where you're not. That's what Periscope was made for.
Let me tell you that it is not great weather. It is a million effing degrees here.
It's balls hot.
It is balls hot. We are dying.
Finally, that's what the technology was invented for a weather report from a ferry of a city that I'm in.
Somebody had asked, hey, it looks like you got great weather for your trip.
You know,
Chip,
not everything has to be answered when someone asks you a question, right?
But
you know
again,
that.
This is micro broadcasting. This isn't something that's meant to go out to it's not something that's meant to go out to everyone. It's just to those select people who choose to watch
it. But they don't know what they're going to get. Don't you have some obligation to try to do something with it?
I felt like it was a successful Periscope.
And then life with Bean. Can you imagine taking time away from your life to go spend a weekend with him? And this is what happens when you get off the plane?
We have had a very busy visit since Chip has been here. I picked her up yesterday and we went to Denny's.
Denny's? We went to 7-Eleven today?
Went to 7-Eleven today. We've been downtown twice. Yesterday we went on the duck tour. You make my butt hungry too, sir.
Can you hear the cry in Chip's voice? You can hear the tears in her voice.
You know in the movie Saw when...
You just do whatever you have to do to get out of the room?
Either can die or right. You can live, but you got to just be really awful to live.
You got to play along with Jigsaw, man.
I just want to live, Ralph.
But at least when he's done talking about the weather, Bean decides to go to tell you about traffic. What the traffic is like in a city where you're not a day after it happened. You get a late traffic report from a static shot on a ferry. That's what you get. And no one asked for this. Bean just volunteered this information.
The traffic was awful because we were in downtown Seattle and it was the last day before the long holiday weekend. So everybody in the world was, don't go in the basement yet, everybody in the world was trying to get out of town. So it was pretty rough, yeah.
Well, thank God we got that information out. People must have been overjoyed that they tuned in what the traffic was like in downtown Seattle yesterday.
We were talking about the duck tour that I took Chip on, a little sightseeing tour, and how it was rough.
This is not a blog. You're supposed to be showing somebody something. Hey, I got an idea. Maybe you saw something interesting, and then you would shoot that, and then that would be what you would show. Like this.
They have a Star Wars costume exhibit, so you actually go in there and you see, you know, the Darth Vader suit, and you see C-3PO, and you see R2, and you see Leia's outfit.
I did send Allie a picture of Yoda and said, this is why you failed.
Yes, there was the rehearsal Yoda, which was kind of cool.
How cool would it be to see that? If there was just some technology in place where you could take your cell phone and show the one visually interesting thing you did all weekend, show that to people that might enjoy.
So Periscope Han Solo's outfit rather than Chip and
water,
me sitting in chairs.
That water in half your face. That if you want a ferry with half your face in water and talking about weather and traffic, maybe show the visually interesting thing with the visual technology.
I accept that as an alternative option.
It's not an alternative option! But Bean makes the wise choice to wrap up this 8-minute Periscope.
Hey, I'm going to flip this around since you're bored looking at us. I'm going to flip this around so you all can see the... All right.
Back to the water.
Please focus on one of you. I was trying to get us both in the
bag. Just turns the camera around. It's just... people talking in the background.
At least you can't hear us when we turn the camera
water
around.
And engines and water and engines and water and engines.
So recapping, Ralph, basically what we've learned here today is that I am the king of Periscope.
You are the king.
Pizza, king of Periscope.
Stephen Colbert is some sort of national treasure. And I think about a lot what he was able to accomplish in all those years of doing the Colbert Report, where he was a genius and so smart and so funny, all while being in character. The only person who comes to mind who's able to pull that off, Allie, and tell me if this is wrong, is Sacha Baron Cohen, who is able to fully inhabit a character to the point where you really do believe he's a real person and still manage to completely ad-lib in character and be genius at it.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people wondered when Stephen Colbert was named as the successor for David Letterman later this year on the CBS Late Show, what's it going to be like when he's no longer playing that character anymore, when he's just Stephen Colbert? Well, everything that I've seen so far indicates it's going to be great. His video that he did as Donald Trump after the Trump presidential announcement was genius. And now he is back where he showed up in Monroe, Michigan on a cable access show. No music, no studio audience, just him sitting in a table coming on the air out of nowhere with these words.
Oh, hello. Also, welcome to another edition of Only in Monroe. I'm Stephen Colbert, filling in for your usual hosts, Michelle Bauman and Kehlani Ray Rafko-Wilson. I'm not sure how many people that is, but none of them could be here tonight.
By the way, they were there tonight. They were actually guests on the same show. And one of those ladies who hosts that Michigan cable access show is a former Miss America, which was a surprise to me. All right. So Stephen Colbert is on the air for about 41 minutes, I think is how long the show is. And we'll post this whole thing. It's really worth watching. And he gives some fun facts about the area of Michigan where they are.
Monroe is located in beautiful southeast Michigan, the place where Mom clips America's mitten onto the sleeve of Indiana. In 1817, Monroe was named for newly elected President James Monroe, who bought the naming rights to the city to promote Jimmy Monroe's jacked jalapeno lard on a hardtack biscuit. Ba-da-ba-ba-da, it's sustenance.
All right. So then he brings on his guest for the show, who he never refers to as Eminem. He is Marshall Mathers, and you'll hear in the introduction what he says about him. But I have to ask before we play some of this tape, we only have time for a couple of minutes of it, but the whole thing is worth seeing. Allie, how much do you think Eminem was in on what was going on? How much was him just acting and playing along with the bit, and how much of his confusion over the way he was being treated was real, if any?
I think he was totally in on the bit, which made it even better watching him, because he's a phenomenal actor, I learned watching this. He was so genuinely, like, acting confused and not really sure why he's there, looking off to what you would assume would be someone in his entourage, like, what the heck's going on type of thing. It's so brilliant and so good.
So Colbert's approach to Eminem is that he's an up-and-coming rapper, and I don't know anything about him. Here's his intro.
My next guest is a local Michigander who is making a name for himself in the competitive world of music. Please welcome Marshall Mathers. Marshall, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
What kind of rap do you do? Are you, like, sort of sing-songing a rap like Bone Thugs and Harmony, or are you more like street like Will Smith?
Well, I like Bone Thugs and I like Will Smith.
Okay. Which are you closer to?
Middle.
The middle? Okay.
Probably.
Are you political? Because a lot of rap is very political, and some of it is just like good booty rhymes. Are you more political or are you more booty rhymes?
In the middle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of...
Right in the middle of the booty?
Right in the crack, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a steamy place.
Yeah.
To have your career.
Right.
All right.
Steamy place to be.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, imagine if you're flipping around the dial in Monroe, Michigan, and you tune into this show or you accidentally come across this show because you want the latest on the Red Cross fundraiser that's going on this weekend. And Stephen Colbert is sitting there interviewing Eminem.
Unbelievable. A lot of people were saying, oh, this had to be planned so far in advance. And people that are on the show said, this just happened just now. I swear this is happening in front of us. People were flipping out. It was amazing.
So Stephen Colbert takes advantage of his inexperience in show business to give Eminem a little bit of advice.
Do you worry about the kids listening to rap? Because some of it gets pretty rough with the this and the bomb that.
Oh, I don't do any of that.
You don't do
it? No.
You keep it clean?
Keep it clean.
Give a message to the rappers out there who are dropping that kind of language and say, tell them, like, you don't have to do it.
You don't have to do it. Watch your mouths.
Okay. Thank you. That is refreshing. That is refreshing. All right. So where do you hope this goes? Is this a career or more of a hobby? Is this sort of like a thing to do with your buddies on the weekends?
It's both.
That's good.
It's a career and a hobby.
Okay, it's a pretty tough business, though, you know? Do you have a fallback position? Is there something else you know how to do, like carpentry or HVAC? Everybody needs HVAC. We're always going to need HVAC.
Carpentry sounds like it could be good.
Do you have what I'm saying? Is that how old are you?
42.
42. If you ever want to have a family and, you know, care for them, while it's fun, and obviously everybody should have something fun they do when they have time, you should really have something. And this is nothing about your talent. This is just an older man talking to a younger man about what you're going to need to have in place 10 years from now. You need to think 10 years down the line, am I going to have a retirement account? You just have to make plans for when the dream dies. And, you know, dreams die.
I love the look on Eminem's face because, and you're right, Ali, he must be a great actor because his look is, I am the biggest rapper in the world.
What's happening?
Like, I have sold tens of millions of records. I could go out tonight and make $3 million in a concert if I want to. What is this man talking about? Here he is talking about how he needs, you know, a retirement plan for when the dream dies.
You know, it happens. And fun is fun.
I'm so confused right now. I'm trying to figure out if you're serious or if...
I'm very serious. If you don't have a retirement account by the time you're 50, you're dead in the water. No, there's nothing to be done at that point. You're a greeter at Walmart at that point.
Yeah, no,
you're
I
am Marshall. Children's toys are over that way.
Right.
You're dead.
Right.
You're going, why don't I listen to him?
No,
I understand this is probably important to you on a certain level, and you probably told your friends, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be the guy who doesn't give up. You told your parents, is this good enough for you, old man? But there's a certain point you have to be humble and say, maybe it doesn't happen for
right.
you. Maybe it doesn't happen for you, Marshall.
You really don't know. I mean, I put out like quite a few albums.
Well, I'm sure that feels good.
It does.
It does. Well, good. Doesn't pay the rent.
All right. Well, you got to see the whole thing if you can. But it is great, and I am even more excited about Stephen Colbert taking over for The Late Show on CBS than I was before. 1-800-520-1067. The lines are clear, but we're going to open them right back up for you if you are interested in seeing a little movie that we like to call Ant-Man. I feel like we've been hearing about this one forever. Stars the great Paul Rudd. Evangeline Lilly is in it. Haley Atwell is in it. It comes out in theaters on July 17th. You get a chance to see it at the Big Deal Theater at the IMAX headquarters on July 16th. It's a K-Rock screening of Ant-Man. You will have to earn your way in. If you can get past Ralph Garman, he's got a game cooked up for you. 1-800-520-1067. You play and you win next on K-Rock. I do remember, Ralph. God, it's been probably 2 years now since you brought up that Ant-Man was going to be a movie.
Uh-huh.
And I do remember that some people on the show,
yes.
and since he's not here, let's just blame Kevin, mocked you pretty much that Ant-Man wasn't a thing and
nope.
Ant-Man didn't need to be a movie.
It was you too, son. You
and
as well.
And now I look at this trailer and I go, how awesome uh-huh. does Ant-Man look?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Evangeline Lilly, Haley Atwell, both in the movie. Paul Rudd, of course, is Ant-Man in theaters everywhere on July 17th. You get to see it at the K-Rock screening at the Big Deal Theater at the IMAX headquarters with a game that we like to call We Be Buggin'.
We be buggin'. Everybody likes Ant-Man. That's something. Hook you up to the screen.
Oh, yeah.
We are playing. You just guessing and buggin', but don't get it wrong. Get your bug on. Ant-Man. We be buggin'.
We be buggin'.
Yay, yay.
What we got, the lines are all jammed with Ant-Man fans, Ralph. What are we going to be looking for this time around?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, you and Kevin did scoff when I first brought up the legend.
Well, it was mostly
Ant-Man.
Kevin. That was really
it was
more
you,
Kevin.
A lot of you.
A lot of it was you. I didn't say. I just sat back, really.
And Ant-Man is not the only insect-themed superhero or supervillain in comic books. There's a bunch of them that have used insects and arachnids in some case. Mm-hmm. To inspire superhero comic book heroes and villains. Spider-Man, of course, jumps to mind right away. He will not be one of the answers in this quiz. We're going a little deeper. So I want to test your knowledge of other superheroes in comic books and supervillains in comic books that are based around insects.
Ooh, I like the category very much. All right.
So let's be buggin'.
We be buggin'.
We be buggin'.
Yeah, yeah.
Be bugging indeed. Let's take them in order and start in Downey. Francis is going to join us up first. We got five pairs of tickets, by the way. So if you get the right answer, you win. You get to go see Ant-Man ahead of its opening on the 17th. Hi, Francis. Welcome to the show, my dear.
Good morning.
Francis, once again, all of these answers will be a bug-themed superheroes or villains from the comic books. Here's your question. Newspaper publisher Britt Reed fights crime alongside his faithful valet Cato as this hero.
Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet is correct. You're going to see the screening.
Well
Woo!
Done.
Boom.
Thank you, Francis.
I'll have you notice being a female comic book superhero.
How about that?
Fan.
And she owned that, she too, owned by the way. She was on it. All right, his name is Ralph.
He's
so
in.
I don't know why he would be a comic
he's
book
in.
Geek, but let's see what he's
got to
say on line two, please.
Hey, Ralph.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Well, let's wait and see if you get tickets first, okay? Several men have taken up the mantle of this bug-themed hero, including genius industrialist Ted Kord. Do you know the name of the bug-related superhero?
Holy crap.
Ted Kord was famously this character. Several other men have also gone under this name.
Ralph, I don't know if this is a hint or not, but has he been comic book only? Has he ever made the transformation to TV or movies
yet? He's been animated, but he has not been a live-action character.
What do you think there, Ralph? You got a guess for us?
Not the pig.
I'm sorry. Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle is his name. Oh, jeez.
Okay. It's all right, man.
Someone put Ralph on some sort
Ralph
of watch.
So
some 24-hour watch.
Oh,
Ralph.
Ralph,
you going to be okay, buddy? Okay. Thank you very much for calling.
Jeez.
We already lost him.
Poor
Jeremiah is up next at CB Deli. Never has someone been more excited and then more devastated.
Well, that's
but
how
they
it
didn't
happens
win.
We don't win. Jeremiah, here's your question. This square-jawed, muscular, bright blue-costumed hero is known for his nonsensical battle cry, Spoon! And his sidekick, Arthur.
That would be the Tick.
The Tick! Well done, sir.
Good job.
Yeah.
By the way, second mention of The Tick on today's television show. We love that show so much.
We be bugging.
We be bugging.
We be bugging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rudy and Orange is our next contestant on We Be Bugging. Rudy, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Rudy. This costumed supervillain of Spider-Man's is really a guy named Mac Cargan, and he wields a dangerous stinger tail.
That would be the Lizard King.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. First of all, Jim Morrison was the Lizard King. But you're thinking of the Lizard. No, it was the Scorpion. The Scorpion was his name.
Almost had him.
Almost
Thank you
did.
For playing, though. We appreciate it. All right, we got to get a couple more winners. Let's try Diego in Pacoima. He's up next.
Diego works in pest control, by the way.
Oh, perfect.
Who would knew better about bugs and superheroes than Diego?
Diego, there's so much pressure on you right now, dude.
Yeah. Diego. Her name is Janet Van Dyne. She was a founding member of the Avengers back when she wore this insect-themed costume.
Oh, man, I got the last few. The Wasp.
The Wasp!
Yes!
Well done, Diego.
Would have been very embarrassing for Diego Woo! If he didn't get that,
Indeed.
Being in pest control. Nice job, sir. All right, Jason's up next. He's in Long Beach. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Get ready to play We Be Buggin'.
We Be Buggin'.
We Be Buggin'.
Jason, of course, Hank Pym was the original Ant-Man in the comic books. He also went by the names Giant Man, Goliath, and later he also took up the mantle of the Wasp, like his wife, Janet Van Dyne. But he was also the first to take on this colorful insect codenamed superhero.
Yellow Jacket.
Yellow Jacket. Well done, sir.
I didn't even understand the question, and he knew the answer.
Well
Man,
done.
That was impressive.
You're going to the screening.
All right, we got time for one more, and this is going to be Alex. He is in Eagle Rock. Hey, Alex.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, Alex. This supervillain's real name is Garfield Linz. He was an orphan who became a pyromaniac, and he developed a suit and gun to further pursue his hobby and to fight Batman as this supervillain.
Garfield Linz?
He became a Batman supervillain, pyromaniac. Went by a bug name.
Firefly.
Firefly! Boom!
Batman knows how to Google. Well done.
Boom.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are all winners. Ant-Man is in theaters on July 17th. You get to see it on July 16th. We got tickets all week long. Thanks for playing. We be buggin'.
We be buggin'.
We be buggin'.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This chip will carry on right here. This one.
Boom.
I think it's a ship.
Oh, ship. Oh, yeah. I thought they said this chip will carry on.
Well,
I misunderstood as well. Hey, that's one of the bands you can see at Lollapalooza in Chicago. It's K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015, destination number one. Your chance to qualify coming up right after the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman on a Monday.
Breaking news. Breaking Showbiz news. Beep, 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 beep.
Hold on, I've got some breaking news.
Okay, great.
This is. It sounds like you're serious about this.
I am.
You're worried about it? Here we go.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
There you go.
Well, thank God we found the drunk guy sleeping in the bus stop in front of K-Rock to record that jingle for us.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
There you go.
Was that Kevin?
Kevin's back.
It might be Kevin, actually.
According to TMZ, Kourtney Kardashian has dumped Scott Disick.
Yay!
I know it's hard to believe, but she thinks maybe he's a drunken loser.
Huh. But he's a drunken loser.
How could she possibly have ascertained that?
She figured it out already, Ralph?
3 children later, she thinks maybe he's not the ideal partner.
I liked him. He was the one I actually liked.
What?
Really? Yeah. Really?
Because he didn't seem like he cared.
Because he was loaded all the time. If I was drunk all the time, I wouldn't care about anything either.
But don't you have to respect someone that's drunk all the time in that family? That's how he coped.
He is a massive douchebag.
He doesn't seem like a good catch for a young woman, though.
Well, I wouldn't keep having children with him. I'd stop at 1, maybe 2.
Really?
Yeah.
You would go as far as 2, would you?
I think he could change.
Ugh. She's a dope. He's a scumbag. Again, I've said this so many times. If the Kardashians didn't have money, they would be living in a trailer park. This is what plays out in a trailer park.
Yep.
You have 3 illegitimate children with a drunk.
Yep.
And then you finally kick him to the curb after you've had 3 kids with him. And he's banging the girl in the trailer next to you.
Yeah, and then...
instead of a wife beater, this guy wears Dolce & Gabbana. But it's the same dynamic.
Yep, you're right. And meanwhile, on TMZ.com this morning, you see that Chloe, who's dating James Harden now from the Rockets, is still married to her last basketball boyfriend. They've made no effort whatsoever to get a divorce, yet she's off dating around, he's off dating around. It's like they don't even bother. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just don't do things that normal people do.
Because there's never any consequences. Because they just keep rolling along, and the money rolls in, and they're just horrible people.
Bible.
Word to your mama. All right, so there's your breaking news. Can we hear that breaking news guy one more time?
And now, breaking news bulletin.
No, he's the best. I insist on having him bust out by every day. It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office each Monday so you know what people went to see this weekend. In terms of movies, Jurassic World, 4th week in a row, number one still. Another $43.8 million. It just does nothing but make money.
Yeah.
Inside Out, 2nd at the box office, another massive hit, $30 million.
Have you been back to see it again, Ralph?
Not since.
No. I thought that was the thing with 5-year-olds, is that they, again.
Yeah, Olivia's not that way, though. She's pretty good with 1.
Oh, that's cool. You're lucky.
And, you know, somewhere down along the line, when it comes out on DVD or it's available on pay-per-view and on demand, she'll ask to see it again. But she's really not that repetitive. And she's not much of a movie and TV kid, really.
Isn't that interesting?
She'd much rather go swimming or play with her toys or whatever. She'll sit down and watch a little television, but she's not glued to the TV like a lot of kids.
Wow,
I don't know where I
throwback.
Went wrong, but she's not a TV junkie.
But Batman was the first TV show she watched, right?
No. I believe Yo Gabba Gabba was the first TV show she watched.
All right.
And then she went through a big Dora phase, which was just, it was a dark, dark period in my life.
Tough for you, was it?
But now she's in love with this show, which is amazing. And I hate to do parent talk because I know there's a lot of listeners out there who don't give a rat's ass. But if you are a parent and you got a kid who's, you know, 5-ish, 6, 7, somewhere in there, there's a show on PBS now. It's a new show. It's been the end of its first season now. It's called Odd Squad on PBS. And it's a spoof, really, of sort of a Men in Black organization. But it's all the agents are kids. And they go out there and they try to solve problems that are odd. Something odd is going on. They go out and try to find out why. And it's just brilliantly written. Comes out of Canada. And it's smart and funny and really well written. And the kids are really good actors. And it's something you can watch with your kids that you don't mind. And once in a while, I sneak in an episode while she's asleep. That's how good it is. So, check it out.
Good tip.
Terminator Genesis, in its debut, underperformed with $28.7 million. Magic Mike XXL, same situation. Only made $11.6 million. Kept at number four this weekend. Ted 2 made $11 million at number five. Max Spy, San Andreas, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and Dope, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Ringo Starr celebrates his 75th birthday tomorrow, and he's going to be in front of Capitol Records in Hollywood at noon. So bring by canned goods or spare change, anything you got. Just Capitol Records and help the guy out. For God's sakes.
No, I think he's fine.
He was in one of the biggest bands ever.
I think he's making a living. He's okay, Ralph. I don't think he's there because he's probably there for some ceremony or something.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
He's probably being honored rather than panhandling.
I thought maybe he had his hand out.
No. What's he doing there? He already has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's not it. What's he doing?
It's a peace and love in, Bean.
Sure.
Okay.
He's going to be there with a bunch of his famous friends celebrating his birthday, and he asked that tomorrow at noon you stop what you're doing and you flash the peace sign and say peace and love, and I'm guessing that'll solve everything.
Hippies. I mean, period. Hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. Hippies.
It's a peace and love in, man. Flash the peace
Ringo
sign.
Ringo for president.
Ringo for president. You're absolutely right. Forget Donald Trump. Ringo for president.
Ringo, I love you.
I don't like the Mexicans either. They bring all the rapists and drug dealers into this country.
Ringo.
It'd be funny if Ringo was just one of a racist tear like Donald Trump about Mexicans. He's going to be there with a lot of famous friends. Richard Marx.
Oh, all right. Don't mean nothing.
Matt Sorum.
Okay.
Ed Begley Jr.
Sure, of course.
David Lynch.
Of course, Ed Begley Jr. is going to be there.
An interesting batch of people. So, if you want to see Ringo on his 75th birthday tomorrow in front of Capitol Records, if not, just remember at noon, peace and love. Flash the peace sign, and that'll fix it all.
I wish that lineup you just gave us was the cast of the new Big Brother.
The surreal life, more likely. David Lynch is going to be out there. Happy birthday, Ringo! We're all very happy for your success. Here's a $20 bill. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, the 6th of July. Kevin Hart is 36 years old today. 50 Cent is 40. Jeffrey Rush, very talented actor. Boy, is he great in everything. Remember The King's Speech?
Yeah.
He played Colin Firth's speech therapist
That
film. Boy, it's a terrific performance.
What did he win his Academy Award for? Some sort of musical performance, if I remember.
Shine.
That was it.
Yeah. Genius.
Yeah, great movie.
George W. Bush, 69 years old today, as is Sylvester Stallone. And the Dalai Lama turns 80 years old today. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what the Dalai Lama sounds like at all. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you about Teresa Chatney from Burbank. Let me tell you about Teresa. Teresa's listening to K-Rock this morning, Kevin and Bean show, and she hears, hey, call to qualify, win tickets to Lollapalooza. And she does, and she does. And she is in the drawing that we'll do Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean show and might be the winner of K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2015. Stop number one, Lollapalooza in Chicago. That's talking about airfare and hotel. The show is going to be July 31st through August 2nd at Grant Park, Chicago. Alabama Shakes, Paul McCartney, Tame Impala, Metallica, and so much more. Your chance to win coming up at noon today. You can qualify. Get the details at krock.com. Thank you. Thank you very much. 9:38. It is Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are back from vacation. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
I love Amy Schumer.
I love Amy Schumer, too.
I love her more. Back
off,
man.
It's possible you love her more. How funny is her show, by the way?
It's the funniest.
Every episode is a classic.
Yes. And she is a great actress on that show, even in sketches and just a brilliant stand-up. I mean, she really is.
She's fearless.
An enormous talent. And I'm so thrilled to see her movie career getting started with this film Trainwreck, which looks great, by the way. And I've got a pair of passes to the very special K-Rock screening of Trainwreck. The movie's in theaters everywhere July the 17th, but you, my sweet, sweet listeners, will get to see it 3 days earlier on July the 14th at AMC CityWalk. That's right up there at Universal Studios, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the entertainment capital of Hollywood.
I've heard that.
It is. Trainwreck there at the AMC Theater. If you'd like to go, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number. We've got a pair of passes to attend the K-Rock screening of Trainwreck.
I would like to carve out some time between now and that movie opening up to have either discussion, or Ralph, maybe you do a countdown, or maybe it's a listener call-in, I don't know, about successful athletes who have transitioned into film.
How great does LeBron look in that?
LeBron looks so like a comedian, like an actor who's great.
And the buzz is that's not just the trailer. He's terrific in the film, and this is going to be a breakout thing for him.
And there have been a few. There have been a few actors who come along who came
Shaq,
from sports.
Remember how good Shaq was? I was thinking Shazam.
I was thinking more of The Rock, maybe. But there have been a few that have transcended
Steel,
sports.
Shaq and Steel also was amazing.
So I think that might be a fun discussion.
Remember that performance? It was great.
And the gold standard, of course, the great... Terry Bradshaw, obviously, in virtually anything.
Everything he does. Right. Remember Michael Jordan in Space Jam? Come on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Blew Bugs Bunny off the screen with that performance.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey really making a go of it in movies in the last couple of years.
Yeah. She's in talks now, I think, to be in a new Mark Wahlberg film. Gina Carano, action star.
A lot of them.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about movies. Since it's Monday, let's take a look at the box office to see what people went to see. Jurassic World, still the number one film in America for the fourth week in a row, made another $43.8 million. Nuts. Crazy. Still made that much money this deep in the run. Inside Out, also still hanging strong. $30 million made this weekend. Terminator Genesis, in its debut, made $28.7 million. Magic Mike XXL was a bit of a disappointment. It performed under expectations with just $11.6 million at number 4. Ted was right behind it. Ted 2 with $11 million at number 5. Then Max, Spy, San Andreas, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl and Dope were your top 10 movies.
Did you see who was tweeting out his love for Ted 2 over the weekend?
I did not.
Larry King.
Did he love it? Was
he
it terrific?
It. Yep.
Was that real King or fake King, though?
Real King. That was real Larry King. Talking about how funny that movie was.
Well, he's right.
I mean, so you got the 80-plus audience.
Yes, that's what we're shooting for. We want the elderly just to wheel into that show and just laugh. Speaking of wheels, what do you do? What do you do if you are the proud owner of a General Lee? What do you do now?
Well, that whole Confederate flag controversy happened while we were on vacation, and it has extended into a lot of different areas that I don't think people saw coming, and the Dukes of Hazzard is one of them.
Dukes is off the air now. TV Land has pulled the reruns.
Now, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, Ralph, but that is bat-ass ridiculous,
dare you, sir.
Isn't it? To pull that TV show because there's a car in it with a Confederate
them
flag?
Them Dukes. Were racist bastards.
No, they weren't, though. They weren't at all racist on that
Uncle
show.
Uncle Jesse had a hood in his closet.
That's not true.
Remember that episode where he put on the white hood?
That never happened.
Remember when Bo and Luke burnt that cross?
Who treated everyone fairly and nice.
No. Are you saying they're just good old boys?
Yes.
Never meaning no harm?
They're just good old boys.
Is that
what you're saying?
I'm saying
yeah. But it's insane, though. Look, have a discussion about whether the Confederate battle flag should be flying over the Capitol in Alabama. That's one thing. That's a legitimate conversation, what the flag represents.
Now the Dukes of Hazzard's off the air, there's no more racism. That was the problem. It was show.
I can't. America's so stupid sometimes.
I don't remember a lot of black folks in Hazzard County, quite frankly.
Well,
a little bit of racism, I think. A little bit.
My point is there's nothing wrong with that show. Leave it on the air. It doesn't have anything to do with this. Oh, what about they still show Hogan's Heroes? Why don't take that off the air? It's got Nazis in it. They're bad.
That's true, but
same thing.
Colonel Klink doesn't have a really cool car. He drives around with a swastika on the roof, though.
True.
If they did, then you wouldn't have that. You can't buy one now. You can't buy a Klinkmobile anymore. They took them off the market. meanwhile, Rich golfer Bubba Watson, Bubba, racist.
Probably.
He owns one of the General Lees, one of the original ones from the TV show. Now he's got a conundrum. What do you do? Because you drive around that with the Confederate flag on the roof, you got some problems. He's fixed it. He has announced what he's doing with his General Lee, that he bought at auction for $110,000 because he loved the show. He's taking the General Lee on top of the roof, painting an American flag.
Oh, Bubba.
Good old stars and stripes, my friend. Long may she wave.
USA!
That's right.
USA! USA!
That horn's got to go. That's a racist song.
That's right. It's true. It's playing Dixie or something, right?
Yep. Bubba told ESPN, this car is American history, so why not the American flag on it? The show's a great show. It's what me and my dad watched. There's no racism in the show, but the flag offends people. I thought for sure that what we should do is to take it off. Remove it, hide it, whatever you want to call it. Make sure nobody is offended by it. See? There, look. Guy's changing his general lead just to make everybody happy.
Yeah, he is.
Good on you, Bubba.
I don't like it.
You ready for James Bond the musical?
Yeah. I am not.
Oh.
Do we need James Bond the musical?
We do not.
Well, we're getting it. Mary Saltzman, daughter of Harry Saltzman, one of the legendary producers of that franchise. It was Saltzman and Broccoli who brought us the James Bond movies. She has announced the musical will have its own original storyline, but a few familiar Bond villains will show up along with a new Bond girl. And it's going to open either on Broadway or in Las Vegas, she says, in 2018. My money's on Las Vegas.
Right.
That's where I think it's going to be, at the Rio. And you can see just a quick 90-minute show, and a tiger will disappear at some point during it. James Bond the musical.
Does not lend itself, really, to a musical, I don't think.
I'm here to protect you with my gun. I'm going to audition.
Not everything has to be a musical.
Apparently, right? It does. Is Paul Newman haunting Jay Leno? I say yes.
As long as someone is, I'm happy.
This comes out of the National Enquirer, so take it for what it's worth. But there was a fundraiser for Newman's Serious Fun Children's Network. This is the long-running foundation that Paul Newman started to help terminally ill kids and their families. It's a great cause. And apparently Jay Leno, Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, and Jamie Foxx were all on hand to appear at a fundraiser. When they were in the dressing room and they looked in the mirror, and what did they see? Paul Newman. To make things even creepier, the water faucet in the dressing room began to run on its own. And a candle that had previously gone... a candle that had previously been unlit was lit.
Come on.
In the bathroom.
Okay.
I think it's because Jay Leno farted, so he had to light a candle. That's why I'm guessing that last one maybe doesn't have so much to do with the ghost of Paul Newman.
Right.
But they are claiming they were haunted by Paul Newman. The late actor was staring back at them in a dressing room mirror.
Okay.
Paul Newman's haunting us.
You are all going to die.
And you're
tonight.
All going to die tonight. Paul is going to kill you.
That was bullshit.
Oh, come on. Breaking news. We have breaking news here from TMZ. Breaking
yes.
news.
Hold on. I got to get my guy up here.
Can we get some breaking news production, please?
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Thank you. According to TMZ.com, Kourtney Kardashian has dumped Scott Disick. Apparently... Apparently she thinks he may not be the best choice for a father to her children and
what?
Or a life partner.
What?
I know, right? He seemed like such a solid citizen.
What happened?
He is currently in Vegas. No, I'm sorry, Monte Carlo, I guess. He's in Monte Carlo these days.
Oh, he's not going to be able to see the James Bond musical then.
Reportedly getting it on with a celebrity stylist named Chloe Bartoli, who, by the way... good friends with Kourtney Kardashian.
Uh-oh.
This guy's a cad.
Yeah.
He's a ne'er-do-well. Anyway, steady, he's been man. Telling people that he's newly single there in Monte Carlo, and Kourtney's kicked him to the curb.
Oh, good for her.
She says he parties a lot. What? How did we not know of this earlier?
Hey,
what?
Are you done with that story?
Yes, I'm done.
Speaking of celebrity breakups, we were on break, but you were here, Ralph. You were surprised by...
The death
you...
of Bennifer?
Yeah. What are your thoughts there? I was very sad. I like both of them very much.
Not surprised, sir.
Not surprised.
Not
okay.
surprised. Those in the know say it's been some time coming.
Was it a drinking gambling situation, as has been suggested? Or
I understand
possibly?
That is part and parcel of what's happening in that relationship, yes. But who can say... We don't know.
Yeah, you can't tell. We're not inside.
We're not understand. But all I do know that they remain the best of friends and are very much still in love with each other.
Are they requesting privacy at, the, at this difficult time?
They are requesting privacy at this difficult time.
Okay.
But they remain committed to co-parenting their three children together.
Okay, good. So it's just a conscious uncoupling, really, more than it was a nasty divorce.
More or less, that's what it is. They're still the best of friends. In fact, they spent the holiday weekend this past weekend vacationing together with their family in the Caribbean.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
If you can do that, if you can party with your ex and the kids, that's a good sign. Jennifer Garner said part of the problem was that he's from Boston and nobody good has ever come out of Boston.
She said that at all.
That's what she said. Nope. Part of the biggest part, part of the problem was the Bostonian aspect of his nature.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, really,
the only people worse than the Mass holes are the Mainers.
The Mainers, we know. Yeah. It's Maine.
It's very hateful.
It's Maine.
Hurtful.
You know what? You know what they do in Maine? They put fireworks on their heads and die.
That's
Have
true.
We looked into that? Was he from Florida visiting Maine?
You wish. I wish
I
he was from Florida.
I need that to be true. I need it.
He was sad. Revisit
Even
that
if
tomorrow.
He was from Florida, he was fine until he got to Maine. And the next thing, he went, put a firework on a head.
It's true. He didn't die in Florida.
No, he did not.
It was almost Canada.
Today's celebrity birthdays. The Dalai Lama is 80 years old today. Sylvester Stallone turned 69. George W. Bush, our former president, 69 years old as well. Isn't it odd? It strikes me that George W. Bush is the only president, former president, I see out there doing stuff for people. Jimmy Carter's building houses and Clinton is, I don't know, saving kids or something of a burning building.
He's running that Clinton Foundation. Wait, you're saying that George W. Bush is the president that you don't see?
You don't see him.
You don't see him much, yeah.
He's painting.
Where is he? He's painting. I know. I heard he's painting. But what's he doing to, like... help stuff.
Giving
paint
things
giving
away.
Paint.
Where are his parents from, Allie? Do you know?
Where are whose parents from?
George W. Bush.
George W. Bush. You know where they're from?
I know where they vacation in Kennebunkport, Maine.
Oh,
that's
Maine.
Right.
Yeah,
no, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they're
thanks.
Big Mainers, aren't
thanks
they?
So much.
They are
Mainers.
Yeah.
Actor Jeffrey Rush is 64. Rapper 50 Cent turns 40 years old today. Philadelphia, a good city, turning out good people. Kevin Hart. Comedian from that fair burg celebrates his 36th birthday today. But the reason all day long we've been celebrating it. Oh, by the way, Dave, the King of Mexico, failed me yet again on the
Who
birthday
did he leave
list.
Off the list.
Oh, just a gentleman that I like to call TV's Robin the Boy Wonder, Burt Ward.
Are you kidding me?
Burt Ward's birthday is today, and I went break after break after break neglecting the Boy Wonder's birthday. And you know how that pains me.
That is unacceptable.
It
Dave.
Is completely unacceptable.
They probably didn't know who
if
Burt
he was
Ward
a Clipper.
Was.
If he was a Clipper, he'd be on the list. But
sure.
No, Robin the Boy Wonder from TV's Batman, not on the list.
Yeah, that hurts.
Burt Ward celebrates his 70th birthday today. And singer Tay Zonday.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate
oh, come
rain.
On.
Ugly. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain.
He didn't have the long-lasting, multiple hit-filled career that
right.
I hoped for.
Where's the follow-up?
Pays on day.
Is what we were looking for.
Right.
More chocolate rain. At least a sequel. He is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph, and thank you again for holding down the fort while we were gone.
My
we
pleasure.
Appreciate that. It's good to be back. Got a new show for you tomorrow, including the return of the monkey. Kevin will be here back from Canada.
I'll put a firework on my head. Didn't I?
Tomorrow we got a lot of good stuff on the program, including more tickets for Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer film, more tickets for Paul Rudd's Ant-Man, more tickets for Comic-Con. We got all of that qualifying you once again to go to Lollapalooza. We got that on the program tomorrow. It is Tuesday. That means the return of the P, Petros Papadakis, along with Ralph. We'll take a look at tonight's Bachelorette. Got that on the show. Also, an all-new Beans Death Corner on the program tomorrow. I got a video that that came out while we were on vacation that I want to go through. It's an interview, Ralph, with the rapper who cut off his own penis.
Hmm.
And he was
MC Bad Decisions. Is that his rapper name?
It is fascinating to hear him justify his decision. He has no regrets. He believes he did the right thing when he cut off his own penis because his penis was only getting him in trouble.
Hmm.
So that's a decision that I think most people would regret upon sobering up, but he is down with it. Also on the program tomorrow, I don't know what this is, but apparently, Allie, you have a gift to the nation tomorrow you're going to be sharing with
us? I do. I just want to show my gratitude and my love for both you and Kevin.
Wow. That's sweet.
I'm looking forward to that. And it's been a while since we've heard Beer Mug's mother complain about the first place Dodgers, but apparently she is furious with the way that they are playing right now as they continue to be in first place still. So all of that tomorrow right here on the world famous K-Rock. See you then.